to absorb all the new entrants into the workforce and eat into that big hole we made from the recession.
The vast majority of the groups that are owed money by the Greek government have agreed to accept much less, and it means Greece will get its bailout. Sales trader Will Hedden says it's not pretty, but it's better than the alternative.
I think we've avoided perhaps a bigger catastrophe for the short term and the worries that would have caused for overall for the debt markets.
The Democrat-controlled Senate has voted to uphold President Obama's plans to stop the Keystone Oil Pipeline. Former New Mexico Governor Bill Richardson, himself a Democrat, thinks the president is right on this one.
The Congress or the Senate, Republicans have been trying to jam the president, saying, make the decision. And what the president is saying, I'll make the decision after the environmental studies.
Mississippi Supreme Court has upheld the controversial pardons of more than 200 convicts that former Governor Haley Barbour granted on his way out of office. It rejected a challenge by the state's attorney general. The economy's slow growth is still holding down airline travel demand, but CNN's Edgar Tregut says that tide may be turning.
The Federal Aviation Administration's new forecast calls for a small dip in the number of passengers this year, and that will push back the 1 billion passenger milestone another 3 years to 2024. But then it will be a slow climb in passenger numbers. The FAA says it will nearly double in 20 years.
A federal judge ordered New York City to pay $128 million to firefighters who allege the city used an entrance exam that deliberately sought to keep African Americans and Hispanics off the force. The judge also ordered the fire department to hire 293 black and Hispanic applicants. For news anytime, go to CNN.com. This is CNN Radio.
Ben had a job, but two other people on his work team got the perks, and that bugged Ben. So he made up his mind to complain. Boss, he said, Jacob and Sharon get upgrades on flights. Upgrades on hotels, upgrades on cars. What gives? Fortunately for Ben, his manager knew a teaching moment when it stalked into the cubicle. He said, Ben, you're talking about our best salespeople. You get where they are by working harder where you are. This is Howard Butt Jr. of Laity Lodge. It's human to want rewards, even to envy, as other people collect their prizes. But when other teams score, don't resent. Watch, learn, and sharpen your own game in the high calling of our daily work.
For more information, visit ourdailywork.org.
Your friend today could be your enemy tomorrow. Green Mountain Coffee Roasters has learned that the hard way. Last year, it scored a coup in the coffee business when Starbucks agreed to sell its coffee in K-cups for Green Mountain's Keurig machines. That gave a big boost to Keurig sales, but after Starbucks announced late yesterday that it's going to roll out its own single-cup brewing system called Verissimo, Green Mountain stock tumbled more than 20% in extended trades. The final hurdle is now cleared for Greece to begin receiving long-promised financial rescue funding from Europe and the International Monetary Fund, now that the nation has clinched a deal restructuring massive debt with private sector lenders. The rescue package is designed to keep Greece out of default, although some economists are not sure it's quite enough. Europe's main stock indexes are trading near break-even following that news, and ahead of this morning's big U.S. employment report, S&P futures are down a point, NASDAQ futures losing three. I'm Andrew O'Day, in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
If you have gout, listen closely. That's the sound of gout silently attacking joints between flares. You won't hear it, and you may not feel it, but if your uric acid level remains high, crystals can continue to build up in your joints. Over time, this may lead to attacks in other joints, constant pain, and joint destruction. So don't wait. For more information, go to goutinfo.com and talk with your doctor about ways to keep your uric acid at a lower, healthy level.
My daughter swims like she's part fish, but when she developed asthma, I worried she wouldn't be able to do the things she loves. There are lots of specialists, lots of advice. Without United Healthcare, I couldn't keep track of it all. United Healthcare has tools to help her pediatrician coordinate her care, so everyone works as a team.
We're more than 78,000 people looking out for 70 million Americans. That's health in numbers. United Healthcare.
Now we both breathe easier.
Live from Progressive.
Let's take another call.
Hey, Flo, ever wonder if you offer too many discounts?
Never. Homeowners, Safe Driver, Snapshot, Pay in Full. Right now, we offer more discounts than ever.
Doesn't that seem a bit excessive?
Wait, is this Bill and Tom from another insurance company?
Hang on.
Busted!
getting you all the discounts you deserve. Now that's Progressive. Call or click today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and its affiliates, Mayfield Village, Ohio. Prices vary based on how you buy. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
At Advance Auto Parts, we don't do anything just part way. We go full throttle. With a growing selection of over 350,000 parts, we have the part you need or we'll get it fast. Yeah. Advance is your one stop. Don't run all over town because they'll have the part I need. Automotive Shangri-La. Right now, save up to $20 on Wagner Thermo Quiet Brake Pads after mail-in rebate. Service is our best part.
Advance Auto Parts.
Void where prohibited. See store for...
The comments, ideas, and opinions expressed in the following program are those of the show participants only. Nothing stated in this program reflects the ideas, opinions, or beliefs of this radio station and or Clear Channel Radio.
2012 creates the promise of change.
But what kind of change? And what say do you have in that change?
2012 carries the promise of hope.
But is hope enough to usher change?
2012 can deliver us from the horror of the past.
But can you and will you commit to making the effort to move beyond words to action?
First Shift is ready to lead if you are ready to join us.
And if you are ready, then strap in.
Because from this point forward,
we will accept nothing but the path to victory.
And that path starts here.
And now.
First Shift
with Tony Trupiano.
And good morning, everybody. This is Tony Trupiano. Welcome to First Shift on a Friday, March 9th, 2012. And we have an amazing show lined up for you today. In fact, we are wall-to-wall guests from 7 to 9. I mean wall-to-wall guests in the 7 o'clock hour. Matt Binkowski and John Kultz will be joining us on the recall. Janice Daniels, that's the mayor of Troy. Get a load of this. At 7:22, we have HUD Secretary Sean Donovan. At 7:35, a student activist and radio expert himself, Neil Pettit. And then at 7:50, Occupy Detroit. All of that in the 7 o'clock hour. And then we go on to, of course, Joe DeSano at 8. And Joe's always got lots of stuff to say. So we've got, just an amazing array of stuff for you today. I'm very excited to have the HUD secretary on. He has a major announcement to make, and he's doing it right here on First Shift. So we're pretty geeked about that. And of course, it wouldn't be First Shift if we didn't start the way we always do. So let's go ahead.
Before you punch in for your First Shift, here is the first word with Tony.
First word today is mainstream, as in mainstream media, as we need to do this in a mainstream way. Oh, mainstream. You know, I don't know that we all kind of apply the same definition to mainstream, because I think that depending on your political bent, what one person considers mainstream, somebody else doesn't. You know, it's interesting. I criticize the mainstream media for ignoring many of the progressive issues that matter to us. And, of course, we talk about things on the show the mainstream media doesn't touch. Yet the right claims that the mainstream, especially if you're Newt Gingrich, what does he call him, the media elite, is this whacked-out liberal bunch of people that just does whatever they want to do and spins it their way. You know, it's kind of interesting that happens because I guess what's mainstream to one person isn't necessarily mainstream to the other. And as we move forward, whether it be during this election cycle or whatever it is we're doing, what is mainstream to one person ain't necessarily so to the other. And that is today's first word, mainstream. Certainly a mainstream producer in his own right. Jeff Radford joins us now on this Friday program. Getting ready, Jeff, for, I would hope, a fun weekend or whatever you've got planned for the weekend, whether it's work or not work, as the case may be.
We'll find out, I suppose. Good morning.
You do know if you have to work this weekend already, don't you?
Well, I thought you meant for the show.
Okay.
Put together some stuff for this show.
Yeah, I want to warn you, you should probably start working on Monday's show today because, as you know, I'm guest hosting the Ed Schultz Show on Monday, which I believe Monday is the day they make the switch. Ed will be actually live in every one of his markets, which is noon to 3. And for those that don't know that, Ed's delayed by 3 hours here in Detroit. So they don't get the live. They don't get the live feed. And I'm assuming people know that, and I don't think I've really shocked anybody by saying that because it's been years that this has been happening. So if you're just finding that out right now, sorry. Anyway, I'll be guest hosting the Ed Schultz Show on Monday, which means I will have absolutely no time to help you book the show and help you with our show for Tuesday. On Monday, because I obviously right after we're done, and Anthony's going to help me because you have your own show to do on Monday afternoon. I think it's going to Monday's just going to be a first shift messapalooza. How's that sound?
Sounds exciting.
So I'm warning you, you might want to work on it today. That's all I'm saying. I thought I had Ed's show booked for Monday, and I don't, but that's okay. They sent me some stuff, and then somebody backed out, and we'll work it out. I just don't want this to be one of those things where I'm just crazed after the show to try to crunch. And unfortunately, I've got 3 hours, which is plenty of time, but I don't want to be crazed after our show on Monday to get ready for Ed's show. So I'm hoping to be nice and organized this weekend. Which I've never been accused of not being organized, so I think we're going to be okay. Anyway, nothing really happening in the world of sports last night. In fact, I specifically went and looked this morning because nothing presented itself at first glance. And, well, I could have looked all day long. Nothing happened last night.
Well, the Big Ten tournament, it's championship week in college basketball. Well,
but nothing happened last night, I said.
Last night, it was
Detroit-wise.
Yeah, with the local teams.
Thank you, Jeff. I'm saying nothing happened in the world of sports. All kinds of things happened in the world of sports.
And it affects the local teams. Michigan and Michigan State both found out last night who they play tonight in the Big Ten tournament. And kind of a shock for Michigan. I thought it would be Northwestern. Instead, it's going to be Minnesota.
Well, okay. Tell us what that means, because I don't know what that means.
Well, Northwestern...
I'm just being honest with you.
That's fine.
I just don't know what that means.
Northwestern is kind of, they were kind of like a heartfelt pick for most people that follow the Big Ten, because they've never been to the NCAA tournament. They actually needed to win last night to make their resume look better so they could get in. Now, it doesn't look good. It looks like they're not going to make the NCAA tournament.
I'm sorry.
But they were one of those teams that, Michigan went to overtime with, twice, mate. Once for sure when they were in Northwestern, but at home they barely squeaked out a victory, and they beat Michigan State. So they were a team that could upset a lot of people if they got in. But last night they went to overtime with Minnesota and lost. So
okay, well I guess that okay, I'll go with that. That's important. I'm sorry. You know I'm not that engaged, so I apologize. I will say that unless I'm wrong. The last I looked, and I guess I'd have to look a little harder. I think the Tigers won again yesterday in spring training.
8-1, yeah. I think.
So they're
Dalvin Young had a big home run.
Yeah, and they're still undefeated in the preseason. Not that it matters, but I'm glad that they're playing well and just enjoying the little bit of reading I get to do. It's amazing how the difference between a year ago. A year ago, I wasn't doing a show, and so I spent a considerable amount of time reading multiple sources on spring training. I mean, multiple sources. This year, because of the show, I just don't have the time. Not that I don't have the inclination, because I certainly do. So I kind of feel a little cheated, to be honest with you, Jeff, because I really enjoy sports. Local sports is my escape. And so I'm not getting my fill, but if I had the trade-off, I'd rather have the job and have that challenge than not have the job and have all the time in the world to read about spring training. So I'm not complaining, I assure you. But I do miss it. There's no question about it. I did very briefly yesterday, and I didn't even read it. I heard a report that Dave Dombrowski is just raving about Brandon Inge at second base, and the controversy, Mr. Radford, is whether or not it's just hype or if he really is. I mean, Dombrowski, I guess, I heard the audio said that, Brandon Inge is acting like he's played second base for a decade.
Well, it's not a surprise. I mean, defensively, I think even people who hate Inge will say, well, defensively, sure. But they don't like him not because he's not good defensively. I mean, he came up as a shortstop, moved to thirds, played catcher, played outfield. I have no doubt he can play second base. It's whether he can hit or not. And the odd part to me is how fans who don't like Inge, who just hate him so much, even if he hits, if he hits 250 and hits 30 bombs, well, 30 is kind of a high, 20 bombs. You know, like if he does just that, they'll still be like, no, let's get rid of him. Let's just dump him now. Like, you know, if he was blocking a hot shot prospect, or if there was a better option that he was blocking, but they went with a veteran because they owe him money or whatever, I'd have a huge problem with that. But he's not. There's nobody that he's stopping from starting second.
No, in fact, when we ended last year, one of the areas of concern, and we thought one of the holes that they would plug it with a free agent or something, was second base, and it didn't happen. I mean, it just didn't happen. So I don't. Yeah.
And think about the last couple of years. We've gone into, since Polanco left, we've gone into each season with a brand new guy. Well, next year it's going to be Cale Orge. Oh, no. Next year it's going to be Scott Sizemore. Oh, wait a minute. This year it's going to be Ryan Rayburn. I mean, none of the options panned out. There's never been an answer at second base. And maybe, you know, this falls in line with that. Well, this year it's going to be Brandon
Inge. Any idea how Brandon Inge is hitting in the preseason?
No.
No, that's fine. But I just wondered.
I do know he has blacksmith arms.
Yes, I do know that, too. Okay, and I'm just going to let that go.
Quickly, a story from around Major League Baseball. Did you hear about David Price? He was actually pitching against the Tigers.
No, I did not.
Doing outstanding, and then suddenly just didn't go back out for another inning, and it wasn't because he reached a pitch count or anything. He apparently was toweling his head off too hard and pulled a muscle or strained a muscle in his neck.
You're not joking, are you?
No.
Well, you know, it's funny because people will go, huh, how the heck does something like that happen? But, and I remember reading this, there was an article a sports writer did last year on injuries that just happened. Like, you know, one guy hurt himself. And I don't remember the name of the player, but he was actually using a shoehorn to put on a shoe and pulled a back muscle and never went back to baseball.
Well, and baseball has a history of a guy sneezing too hard and,
yeah.
and causing a back problem.
Yeah.
Or taking out the trash and getting in trouble.
Right, or playing Guitar Hero and never pitching for
the team. He was rescuing his stuff from a burning apartment.
That's right. Wasn't he in the attic or something?
Who knows?
Whatever. Okay. We'll take the break here. Lots to get to. Certainly you're welcome to join us. It's Friday, so let's have a little levity. And I don't know that we're going to have much levity today, but we'll try. 888-552-3595. We're up against the clock. We'll be back. I'm Tony Trupiano. Jeff Radford's that other guy. Stay with us.
Got a question or comment? Call now. 888-552-3595.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano
on 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. We have an accident out there. Southbound 275 just after I-94. It's blocking two lanes, leaving only one lane open. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service. Today, mostly cloudy, a high in the mid to upper 30s. Tonight, partly cloudy, a chilly low around 20, but tomorrow gets much, much nicer. Mostly sunny, a high near 48. Right now, it's fair and 32 degrees at Detroit City Airport. More First Shift coming up after this.
Recently on First Shift.
Charlie Lindoff joins us now from Fox 2 News.
You should be angry because, look, criminality or not, you know, I mean, Kwame Kilpatrick, he's not being convicted of anything in federal court, right? But you, at the very minimum, our leadership's been asleep at the wheel for decades. And we went along with it, and all of a sudden, the Magic Carpet ride stopped. We're broke. We got nothing left. And the leadership never changed. You know, you start to see the nice little deals they're making with the money. Why we're running a deficit. There's plenty of money still flowing through here, and they don't understand the times that when the people have nothing, stop the merry-go-round, do it right, and let's get this thing fixed. It's time for normalcy. You know, no BSing like you're part of the people. You are part of the people. What about chauffeurs with his pension and his salary and his car and his gas is making $200,000.
On 1310 WDTW.
Stay tuned for more of First Shift with me, Tony Trupiano, after this on Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW. Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that.
You are connected to the internet. I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Michigan needs progressive public policy, not legislation that continues to cripple our communities. Hi, I'm Brandon Jessup, Chairman and CEO of Michigan Forward. Michigan Forward is a nonprofit organization leading the charge to repeal Public Act 4. We need your support in 2012 as we continue to fight for democracy and create policy initiatives that move our state ahead. Donate today at MichiganForward.org or call 313-965-2722.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano or you want to listen to his segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
You're listening to Michigan's only live and local progressive talk radio show.
Give us a call.
1-888-552-3595.
Welcome back to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
All right, welcome back. Friday morning. Hard to believe that we are at the end of another amazing week. And the controversy that is Rush Limbaugh continues to swell. I don't know where the count is on advertisers leaving. It was somewhere in the 40s yesterday. Being that I've never had 40-something advertisers, it's unfathomable for me. But, hey, whatever. And so that's that. I'm astounded, amazed that those on the right continue to try to justify what Rush Limbaugh did by screaming and yelling, but what about the left? But what about the left? But what about Bill Maher? Well, what about Ed Schultz? Well, what about Keith Olbermann? What about them? They have nothing. It has nothing to do with what Rush Limbaugh did. There's the huge disconnect for me. But what about?
That's what I don't understand. People raise their kids, and you know, what does your kid say immediately when they do something wrong and you catch them? But Tommy did it, and what is your response?
Tommy jumped off the cliff, would you do it?
Right. It's never, I didn't know that. I didn't know Tommy did that. Well, okay then.
that makes it okay. Here's the deal for me. That's actually a pretty cool analogy, Jeff. But here's the deal for me. I get that we're picking on their guy. I get that. I understand that. Because I've repeated it so often lately, but I'll do it one more time. It's tough to be a Republican today. Nothing's going your way. Your leadership sucks. Your legislation's even worse. Your number one honcho, your mouthpiece, the guy that's quote-unquote the kingmaker, is about to lose his freaking job. So, yeah, you're going to freak out a little bit.
Well, and think about the two things. This is even funnier. The two things they're picking on President Obama now is giving a professor a hug and gas prices, which they said 4 years ago wasn't the president's fault.
Jeff, this professor is a radical. He's a black radical, Jeff. What's wrong with you? He's a black radical. We've got to purge the world of black radicals.
Well, and they're not even that worried about the speech where he says nice things. It's the hug afterwards.
Yes, it was the hug. And then someone says that, you know, this professor visited the White House twice in 2010, and they demand that the president stop what he's doing and address that issue because he has absolutely nothing else to concern himself with. I really find the right laughable. Now, I've got a variety of stuff to share with you today that is surrounding the Rush Limbaugh issue in many ways. We'll start with Bill O'Reilly. And my favorite one, we're going to get to the Sarah Palin one later, but right now we'll start with Bill O'Reilly, who's talking about this and what I find really funny, and I find this absolutely hilarious, is with all the issues that we have going on, we're talking about contraception, which 98% of women use. Okay? So be mindful of that. Either 98% of women used or have used contraception. And many of them, by the way, are Republican. So, you know, here's my question. You know, Jeff, here's my question. If Republicans are so focused on pro-life, why would Republican women ever use birth control? Isn't that killing a baby before it has a chance to be a baby?
Well, and that's what the church is arguing.
I'm just saying, if they're so pro-life, then they would never, ever think of using contraception. Because it's denying a possible life its existence. I mean, if we're going to carry it to its extreme, let's go. Anyway, Bill O'Reilly. Oh, Bill O'Reilly, I'm about to play for you four clips, ladies and gentlemen, and I swear to God, when I'm done with these four clips, and they don't take long, he will have said nothing. Here we go. Number one, on Sandra Fluck.
The bigger issue is the entitlement state versus Ms. Fluck's opinion that she is owed a certain amount of lifestyle help. And that's what we took on.
All right, now, wait a minute. First of all, Jeff, did Sandra Fluck ask for lifestyle help, or did she talk about a woman's medical need for hormone replacement therapy?
Yeah, it wasn't even hers. It was somebody, people that...
A woman's need. A woman's need. Not her need, a woman's need. So that's issue number one. Okay. As only Bill O'Reilly can do, defends Viagra, and is, of course, his justification is fascinating.
The Centers for Disease Control basically categorize things, and they say this is a malady, this is a medical condition, and this isn't. And so Viagra comes under the government's guidelines for medical condition. Contraception doesn't. So, I mean, look, I don't care. Doesn't matter to me.
Doesn't matter to him because he's trying to infer that he doesn't need Viagra, and that's fine. This isn't about that.
But
anyway,
why is he okay with them?
Because
with the
it's a malady. Because it's a malady, Jeff.
So the taxpayer can pay for that, but with something that you just said, 98% of the women.
That's because the Centers for whatever he said, health control, whatever he said, calls it a malady. So therefore, if the federal government has defined it as being that, then it's okay to cover it.
So he's upset with the government for trying to define birth control that way, but because it defines Viagra that way, he's okay with it.
Yes.
I don't get that at all.
Well, that's okay. We'll move on. Next, federal guidelines as far as vasectomies go.
So do you consider a vasectomy then a health issue or a contraception?
I don't consider anything. I just, here's what the federal guidelines say, and is that's what they say, that's what they do. Sure. I'm not a doctor, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not a doctor, I don't know. So he basically skirts again. We've three sound bites, not one answer. Okay, so he says birth control it's an option, not a need.
But this seems to me to be an option rather than something that you have to have. And that's what the Catholic Church says. Give us the opt-out option on it, and we're fine with it.
All right. Well, anyway, thank you.
But Viagra is something you need.
Well, because it's a malady, Jeff. And it's okay because the federal government says that it's a malady, so therefore it's all right. So if I were to hold Bill O'Reilly to that one statement alone, anything the federal government says then is okay for him, when we all know that's not true. We all know that Bill O'Reilly does not find everything the federal government says okay as being okay. So there's a little hypocrisy there, but we're not allowed to point out the right's hypocrisy, but they love to point out the hypocrisy on the left. And of course, the biggest challenge, Jeff,
is they never want to compare apples to apples. It's always got to be, and we're going to get into it with Michelle Bachmann and Sarah Palin, and even Jay Carney, the White House press secretary, gets into it a little bit. I got to tell you, folks, I'm not a big obviously I'm not a big fan of Rush Limbaugh. I would defend to death his right to do what he does on a daily basis because it's what I do on a daily basis. But I will not and I cannot stand by and allow him, without commenting, because it's what I do, to get away with denigrating women the way he did last week for 3 days in a row. And that's all that this is about, and it's never been about anything more than that, except the right continues to make this an issue. If they didn't, it would have gone away by now. You want to play that game? I'm game. We'll take the break. 888-552-3595. We'll be back. This is 1310 WDTW.
Team 10 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. Some slippery travel out there on I-94 past the airport towards Ann Arbor, so you will want to slow it down. Southbound 275, right before Eureka Road, we have an accident there, blocking two lanes, leaving only one lane open. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast for the National Weather Service today, mostly cloudy, a high near 37. Tonight, partly cloudy, a low in the lower 20s. And then Saturday, mostly sunny, a high in the mid to upper 40s. Quick look at Sunday, mostly sunny, a high near 61. Right now, it's fair and 32 degrees at Detroit City Airport.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hiller's, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
The corporate propensity for rationalizing the irrational in the pursuit of profit appears to be boundless. Consider J.R. Simplot, a giant conglomerate whose mining operations in Idaho have grossly polluted creeks with selenium, a highly toxic metal. But Simplot's scientists rationalized the corporation's dirty deed with a 1,000-page study asserting that even though the selenium contamination of creeks was well above levels allowed by environmental law, the water remained, quote, safe for fish. Tucked back in the appendix of Simplot's study, however, were a few photographs that vividly depicted the screaming irrationality of the corporation's safety claims. The most stunning photo was of a two-headed baby trout produced by Simplot's pollution of area creeks. It was not the only sickening deformity caused by the selenium. Other trout had facial, fin, and egg disfigurements. These grotesque mutations led to calls for an independent agency to conduct a full scientific review of Simplot's 1,000-page study. At Senator Barbara Boxer's request, this was done by the Fish and Wildlife Service, which issued a scathing report in January that bluntly branded the corporate study biased. For example, Simplot systemically understated the deformity rate of baby fish in the creeks. It's not 20% that are deformed, but 70%. Ask about this rather broad discrepancy? A Simplot vice president could only grunt that the Fish and Wildlife Review was, quote, totally outside the regulatory process. Well, thank goodness for that. As another independent toxicology expert says, I've seen lots of malformed baby fish, but never one with two heads. We need to be careful here. This is Jim Hightower saying, yes, let's. In fact, let's stop swallowing any irrational rationalization by corporations that pollute for profit.
Hightower's commentaries are brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown, the monthly newsletter with Hightower's populist take on what the powers that be are up to. Find out more at HightowerLowdown.org.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills? The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending. You'll learn the order of service every server should know, speed pouring, drink recipes, customer service skills the industry is looking for, and much more. All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan. Please call 313- 313- 972-5020 Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock Michigan. Your future is waiting for you now.
Got a question or comment? Call now.
888-552-3595.
First Chip with Tony Tribbiano.
On 1310
WDTW.
Welcome back. 35 minutes after the hour. Jeffrey, we have incoming email from our buddy Tom at UAW Local 174. He wishes us both a fantastic weekend. He's off for a little while. He's recovering after being in the hospital for a little while. He's fine, just so you know. He's nothing to be too terribly concerned about, but he's been able to listen to the show because he's had, you know, been off and said he's enjoying it and wants to just send along good wishes for the weekend. So we've done that.
Well, fantastic.
Tom's a great guy. You'll get to meet him. I'm not going to... He actually said they got to bring Anthony. So as I shared with Tom before, my problem with bringing Anthony is, you know, getting him up from his nap. But we'll save that for another conversation. Anyway, to continue to go on, let's listen to Sarah Palin on with Sean Hannity. And what she had to say about what the left is doing and the hypocrisy of what the left is doing.
Well, I don't know why anyone can sit in the audience of a commentator like Bill Maher and chuckle and laugh and think that that's entertaining. I think it's disgusting, and it's dirty money that he has now provided Barack Obama's campaign. And I don't know how Barack Obama can sleep at night if he really thinks about Sasha and Malia and the treatment of some women today, how he can accept that dirty money. And granted, Barack Obama has never been, I think, seen in the conventional traditional way of we who would describe a man of valor, so it shouldn't surprise us that Barack Obama would accept that dirty money and try to get reelected with it. But I think it does not bode well for our president's character to not speak out against that dirty money.
Oh, Sarah Palin. Jeff, here's the talk about hypocrisy. She sits there and insults the president of the United States, and then tells us that we should be outraged because Bill Maher insults people. Can you want to explain that one to me?
Well, I can't explain any of that because everything she said was factually wrong. I mean, President Obama didn't accept any money.
No, the PAC accepted the money, and the PAC has nothing to do with the president. Even though it supports the president, he has nothing to do with that PAC. He doesn't coordinate with the PAC. It's just ridiculous. I mean, this is just ridiculous. And now, there's a lot to that interview that we, of course, didn't play. But the way Sean Hannity kissed Sarah Palin's ass and the way he was asking her questions, I hate to do this to you. And I know that this might be painful. Oh, please, Sean, come on. It was just really ridiculous. I mean, really ridiculous. And of course, Sarah Palin's a joke. Intellectually, she's a joke. As a leader, she was a failure, Jeff. She couldn't even get through her one term as governor of Alaska. Part of me, from an economic standpoint, totally gets it. She wanted to cash in on her celebrity. She's made millions of dollars since quitting her job. Listen, I have failed at a lot of stuff, and I've succeeded at a lot of stuff, but I've never quit at anything. She quit as governor. Quit. And I don't know if you remember, folks, you can Google this. When she quit, there were a lot of people in the state of Alaska that were very unhappy with Sarah Palin for doing that. They elected her, and she couldn't even get through 4 years because she wanted to go out and make money. She was a whore to the dollar. Lots of conservatives are a whore to the dollar, men and women alike. Money doesn't discriminate, folks. And everybody likes it. It's just one of those, money's one of those funny things that, you know, it can either attract or repel people of any color, shape, size, religion. It's amazing. Money's an amazing thing, the magic elixir.
So she's accusing
President Obama wrongly, but accusing him of doing anything for money, kind of. And yet you just pointed out that she's been doing that her whole career.
Well, I mean, she certainly did it, you know, after she was given the opportunity. And John McCain needs to pay at some level for putting her in the national spotlight. He should lose his Senate seat or something. And it's just reprehensible that he gave her the opportunity that he gave her. That being said, and again, you know, people say that the media created all the negativity surrounding her during the last election cycle. No, the governor did, or I'm sorry, well, at the time she was the governor, so I'll give it to her then. I refuse, folks, to call her Governor Palin because she quit her job. Anyway, when she was governor, at the time she was a candidate for the vice presidency of this great country, she presented herself as being a simpleton, a fool, an idiot, a dunce, and that was of her own doing. Now, whether it's because they didn't prepare her properly, they being the campaign, it's irrelevant. She looked like a simpleton. I'm not so sure she's advanced too much from there. Anyway, let's go on. Because we're talking about the hypocrisy of the right, calling the left the hypocrites, which is just fascinating. Michelle Bachmann had the following to say about her presidential run.
From personal experience, I couldn't even repeat on television what has been said about me. A judge recently ordered Twitter to identify a man who called for me to be not only raped and sodomized, but also killed. Now, this is serious, and I've had things said about me during the course of running for the presidency. There was zero outrage about these statements on the left, absolutely zero. This is something that is completely wrong, and I think when you see the overkill that's being done against Rush Limbaugh, and then you see the comments that were said about me, and absolutely no response whatsoever, there's no comparison here. And so why is it that there's outrage when it's an issue on the left, but there's zero outrage on the right?
Well, you know, listen, Congresswoman Bachmann, I'm outraged that you would have these kinds of things said about you. Absolutely I am. Listen, I totally disagree with Michelle Bachmann's politics, but I certainly have great empathy and sympathy for her that she has to. I mean, emotionally, it's difficult to deal with that stuff. Now, we don't even know if the people making those accusations are conservative or liberal, and it doesn't matter. Nobody should be allowed to get away with death threats and to describe in detail what they want to do in a heinous ways to somebody else. So no, I mean, I'm outraged by that. But Jeff and I were talking before the show, and I just don't remember this being in the news. And I would think that we would remember that. If this were happening, especially, Jeff, at a regular level, we would have heard about it.
You know why? Because random Twitter guy is a jerk anyway to everybody. Everyone that's on Twitter eventually will meet.
We have random Twitter guys being jerks to us.
Right. So they don't have a name. They don't have a face. Rush has both. Name, face, fame, reaches millions and millions of people. You can't compare Rush to random Twitter mean man.
And again, that doesn't, and once again, and I'm sure, Jeff, you agree with me, the Congresswoman should have not had to endure that. And it is outrageous that she had to, but she did. Listen, I didn't mention this, but I recently had a death threat against me. All right, I understand, and it's uncomfortable. It's very uncomfortable. I had to get the police involved. As Jeff will tell you, because I share some of this stuff with him, I get real wackos following me. And am I mischaracterizing anything here, Jeff?
Nope.
It's just part of being a public figure. And you have to decide, you know, what you take seriously and what you don't. And I always err on the side of caution, of course. I take it all fairly seriously, and if I feel threatened, I report it to the police. Now that this has happened to me once, I now have somebody that I can connect with, and you know, now that when I'm getting something and for multiple people, I can just forward that to the police. They're aware of it, and then you know, if something serious were to happen, you know, we would be okay. They're also, you know, just be honest with you, they're driving by the house more often, making sure that everything's okay. It happens. It's part of being a public figure. But I'm okay with that. Let's talk a minute about, because we've only got a minute left. In fact, can we get the Jay Carney quote in before the break? I think we can, can't we?
Yeah.
All right, let's go ahead and play the soundbite first.
You can be careful with their language in general, you know, and he spoke about his own daughters and setting an example. I know he's not the language police. You're not the language police from this podium to pick on people on the left or the right, but there is a letter that went to the chief of staff today from a conservative group, Concerned Women for America, saying that the president should direct this super PAC on the Democratic side that took $1 million check from Bill Maher. Mm-hmm. And I understand the president can't, he's not in charge of the super PAC. It's an outside thing. But he did bless that PAC and say to his supporters, you should give to this PAC if you want to. So can he also say, give $1 million check back?
I think the points that you made as you were asking your question are the ones that I will make, which is that we are not and cannot be the arbitrator of every statement that everybody makes in the policy and political arena. As a general matter, obviously language that denigrates women is inappropriate. And I think I would point you to what the president said when he was asked about this during his press conference, which is that he chooses to lead by example or to try to. He chooses to, in the pursuit of a more civil discourse in our public space, he chooses to try to practice that civility himself. He calls on everybody to do just that.
And, of course, that will not be good enough for those on the right, but I think that Jay Carney covers it quite nicely.
Well, and one thing that we need to point out real quickly is that Ed Henry sets that question up, and basically Carney repeats it, and yet you'll just hear the small sound bites if you're listening to conservative news.
Of course. All right, we got to take a break. We'll come back and wrap this hour up. I got to tell you, we got like a marathon pace in the 7 o'clock hour, so you're going to want to hold on because we got a lot to get to. But before we do that, we've got to finish this one first. So let's take the break. You're listening to 1310 WDTW. I'm Tony Truffiano. We'll be right back.
It was $1 trillion and thousands of U.S. lives to topple a dictator in Iraq. It's $1 billion and no U.S. lives to topple a dictator in Libya. That's a pretty stark contrast.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Truffiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now there are no excuses and it only takes a few minutes and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
Recently on First Shift.
Joining us now is Dr. Jill Stein, a candidate for the Green Party's presidential slot. Tell my audience, if you would, a little bit about the Green Party for those that are not familiar with the Green Party, please.
The Green Party is the party of regular working people. You have two establishment parties, but they've sort of given up the ship for everyday working people. They're delivering the goods for the wealthy few who are already rolling in dough. They're austerity on everyday people, cutting back for our health care and our schools and the things that everyday people need, our transportation, yet they are squandering trillions on more Wall Street bailouts, tax breaks for the millionaires and billionaires, and wars overseas that get ever bigger and ever more expensive every day.
First Shift with Tony Truffiano
on 1310 WDTW.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized, with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family. And UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-9671.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter.
Follow us, like us,
love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet. Together we stand, divided we fall. Got something to get off your chest? Give us a call. 1-888-552-3595.
This is First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Yeah, welcome back. 10 minutes before the top of the hour. Just one more thing on the whole Sandra Flock controversy. Jeff had sent me a cartoon that a conservative cartoonist had drawn. And it's totally, we're not going to post it to Facebook. It's totally inappropriate. It's totally disgusting, and it is, you know, just again, and again, the reason I'm not going to post it is I'm not interested in continuing this disgusting conversation. I just wanted to clear the air a little bit today, but sweet Jesus, man, we just need to learn how to move on. Okay, Jeff had referenced earlier in this hour a Harvard law professor of Barack Obama's. For those of you that did not see it or have not seen it yet, either on our Facebook page or on other websites, the quote-unquote damning video that Andrew Breitbart had of President Obama at Harvard is out. Oh, my, how do I explain this? I mean, much ado about nothing doesn't come close to really describing it. Jeff, I don't know. It's a love fest between what would then be Barry Obama, because that's how he was known in college, speaking affectionately and passionately about diversity and a love for a law professor, and it culminates with him giving this professor a supportive hug. Right.
Right.
Okay. I mean, that's pretty much what happened. Now, the right is screaming, yes, but this professor is a radical. He's a black radical. Yeah, whatever.
Isn't it, to me, I mean, when you have a guy who Barack Obama's speech is about the guy standing up and fighting for diversity in the law section of Harvard, right? The law, the students that are applying
to law school, right.
Law school. So, you know, Barack Obama's praising him for that stance in the law school.
Yeah, let me explain that this professor, Bell is his last name, this particular professor had made, throughout his career, Jeff, had made it clear, he was the first African-American faculty member at Harvard Law School, and he used that as a bargaining chip to force Harvard to hire more blacks.
Well, a black woman is what he. I mean,
not just one though.
Well,
this was many.
He wanted to see women as well.
Absolutely, but he used his prominence to successfully diversify the faculty.
Right.
That's what makes him the radical, by the way.
Well, and say he made some other radical statements. That's not what, you know, when you champion somebody for one of their views, does that mean you agree with every single one of other
views? Listen, there are people that listen to me, Jeff, that hate that I am pro-gun. Hate that about me. Hate it, that I'm pro-Second Amendment. I am. But there are people that hate that about me. Does that make me a bad person? No.
Well, and on top of it, I agree with you on a lot of things, but if I don't like that you're pro-gun, am I going to get lumped in now because you are?
No.
I would hope not.
All right, so anyway, CNN sends actor Jay Thomas to interview Breitbart.com editor Joel Pollack, and I'll let this speak for itself.
Can I say something as a white person? what are you frightened of?
Are you
frightened that some black people are going to do something to you? You have a group of individuals. If you and I were black, we would be madder in hell. But we're not. And so we are white people. There are more white people than black people. And so there's a struggle that's been going on. And so in a struggle, you talk about a lot of things. There's anger, there's resentment, and so what are you frightened of? What do you think Barack Obama's going to do? Is there a secret black movement that's going to start killing white people? What are you talking about? As a white guy.
I'm glad you played the racism card. You've accused me of being a racist.
White. I'm accused of being white. That's all I've accused you of.
No, you've accused me of being afraid of black people, and it doesn't even deserve a response. But let me respond anyway.
Sure.
No, I'm not afraid that black people are going to be violent and take over the country. What I'm pointing out is that there's a pattern in Barack Obama's associations with Derrick Bell, with Reverend Wright, and carries over into his governance because his Justice Department won't treat black civil rights violators the same that it treats white civil rights violators, that there's a racial pattern in which justice is enforced in this country, and it also gives us a sense into how Barack Obama thinks about these issues. At every point in his life when he could have followed the path of Martin Luther King, he threw in his lot with the Jeremiah Wrights and the Derrick Bells of the world. And it's important not just because of what Obama believes, but it's important to vet the media. The mainstream media covered this up.
So you want him to take it easy on the white supremacist groups?
That exactly.
Is that it? I'm just asking. I mean it.
Why don't you just ask the question? Why don't you ask the question without knowing a thing about me or what I believe? This is typical mainstream media.
I'm just looking at your skin. That's all I'm looking at. I'm just talking white guy.
You're judging me by the color of my skin.
Yes, I am. I sure am.
That's exactly what Andrew Breitbart.
If I could interject,
all right. And first of all, it was an honest exchange. We'll give it that. It was an honest exchange, and at least Jay Thomas was, I don't know, honest. He was honest. He just said what, you know, what he wanted to say. I don't know what people are afraid of. I don't know why people are so afraid of this president. You know, we had, you know, George W. Bush, we had a mountain full of evidence that this guy was dishonest, that he was a horrible businessman, that he had lost both his family, friends of the family, friends of himself, millions upon millions of dollars. Yet he kept on getting bailed out by friends of his dad. Right? We know that, you know, George Bush had a very problematic college record. Much was not made about Laura Bush's unfortunate accident where she killed somebody. Some people are still not aware of that, but it's true. You know, we talk about that double standard, and if we were to apply it fairly, then, you know, I would feel a little bit differently about this. This idea that the media somehow is liberal is just laughable. It truly is laughable. It's not fair, and I don't know that it's ever fair to the right or to the left. I think the media does what it wants to do when it wants to do it. And there's little or anything anybody can do about it because ultimately their master is the advertiser.
Well, and the advertiser's master is the customer, right? The Absolutely. Customer wants to see what it wants to see. That's why reality shows are so popular.
If you say so. I'm still trying to figure that one out from a psychological standpoint.
Well, people love gossip. They love not everybody, but the majority of people do. And I just think if the mainstream media would have played this video, people would have been like, what's the big deal?
Yeah, what is the big deal? I mean, that's the point. If you watch it, I want to encourage, if you haven't yet watched it, it's still on our Facebook page. It's all over the internet. It's not like you can't find it. Go watch it. And then what you're going to find is the Barack Obama that's standing there 20 years ago in Harvard Yard isn't a whole lot different from the Barack Obama you see today. And I find that reassuring. We'll leave it there. All right, in the next hour, we've got five guests. I'm not even going to attempt. We'll just do it as we do it. We got a busy, busy hour. Maybe it's four guests. Whatever. We got a lot of people. Lots of people. We're going to get it all in. So you're going to stay where you're at. We're going to take a break for the top of the hour, get you some good information. And then First Shift, we'll continue on this Friday morning. Stay with us.
Team
1410 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. We're looking at some slippery travel in the far western suburbs, so cut back on the speeds a little bit. Southbound 275 before Eureka Road, we have an accident there, leaving only one lane open. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service today, mostly cloudy, a high near 37. Tonight, partly cloudy, a low around 20. And then Saturday, mostly sunny, a high in the upper 40s. Right now, it's fair and 32 degrees at Detroit City Airport.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hiller's, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Stay tuned for more of First Shift after this on Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW.
Hey, it's Jeff from First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m. right here on 1310 WDTW.
Dearborn, Detroit.
Now, time for news from CNN.
CNN Radio, I'm Jim Ribble. It looks like Greece will get its $130 billion bailout. Creditors have agreed to take less than they're owed rather than see Greece completely default on its obligations. And journalist Elinda Labropoulou says that that agreement clears the way for the European Union and the International Monetary Fund to write the bailout check.
It means that the private bondholders will accept losses of some 74% of the value of their investments. It is a deal that will cut more than 100 billion euros from Greece's public debt, giving the green light possibly later today as to whether Greece will receive a second bailout.
Economists expect a report coming out this morning to show that more than 200,000 new jobs were created last month, but CNN's Christine Roman says the unemployment figure can be misleading.
There's something that's called underemployment, and that means people who are unemployed, people who are working part-time but want to work full-time, and people over the last year who maybe dipped into the labor market looking for a job, but they're not really looking now, but they could be working. That number is 14.6% for men, 15.5% for women.
For the second time in a month, someone bought a winning multi-million-dollar Powerball ticket in Rhode Island. This week's winning ticket's worth $60 million. No one's come forward to claim the money yet. Earlier in the week, an 81-year-old Rhode Island woman claimed a $336 million Powerball prize. The courts have taken a bite out of two key provisions in Alabama's tough illegal immigration law. CNN's Matt Cherry has details.
One part of the law voids contracts signed by anyone in the U.S. illegally. Another blocks those folks from carrying out transactions with the state for services like licenses. But a federal appeals court in Atlanta has temporarily blocked both of these provisions. Matt Cherry, CNN.
Jimmy Ellis, who had the hit Disco Inferno in 1975, has died. It was the best-selling soundtrack to Saturday Night Fever. Jimmy Ellis was 74. For news anytime, go to CNN.com. This is CNN Radio.
At Green Mountain Coffee, we believe in the power of a great cup of coffee.
I realized every problem can be an opportunity if you look at it the right way.
We selectively source our coffee from across the globe. Then we carefully roast and blend it perfectly. So all the inspiration we put into it helps you get a little inspiration out.
I realized sometimes a great cup of coffee is all I need to get a new perspective.
Green Mountain Coffee, a revelation in every cup. Available in bags and K-cup servings for Keurig single-serve brewers.
Want to get your lawn into shape this spring? Stop into Lowe's today and get 20% off when you buy two bags of Scott's Turf Builder. That's 20% off the Scott's fertilizer you need to kill major lawn weeds and build strong, deep roots now, and the Scott's fertilizer you'll need later in the year. And you can also save on bottles of soft soap liquid hand soap, previously $2.18, now only $1. Hurry into Lowe's for these and other great values every day. Lowe's, never stop improving. Offers valid through 3/11. Selection may vary by market. See store for details.
In recent months, we've told you about some companies such as Ford and Caterpillar moving jobs sent to Mexico years ago back to the U.S. But now comes the telenovela. New York Times reports that years after moving production of Spanish-language soap operas known as telenovelas from Los Angeles to Mexico to save money, the two main Spanish-U.S. networks, Univision and Telemundo, are making new shows in Miami with more on the way. Last year, Starbucks entered the single-cup home-brewing coffee market when it began selling K-cups for Green Mountain Coffee Roasters' Keurig machines. Now it's going to become a Keurig rival. Stock in Green Mountain fell off the mountain into the red, falling 20% in late trades after Starbucks announced its own single-brewing machine, the Verissimo. Rally for Japan's Nikkei today, near flat performance for Europe's markets, And ahead of the big February jobs report this morning, S&P futures and NASDAQ futures each are losing a point. Dow futures down all of 3 points. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
If you have gout, listen closely. That's the sound of gout silently attacking joints between flares. You won't hear it, and you may not feel it, but if your uric acid level remains high, crystals can continue to build up in your joints. Over time, this may lead to attacks in other joints, constant pain, and joint destruction. So don't wait. For more information, go to goutinfo.com and talk with your doctor about ways to keep your uric acid at a lower, healthy level.
My daughter swims like she's part fish, but when she developed asthma, I worried she wouldn't be able to do the things she loves. There were lots of specialists, lots of advice. Without United Healthcare, I couldn't keep track of it all. United Healthcare has tools to help her pediatrician coordinate her care, so everyone works as a team.
We're more than 78,000 people looking out for 70 million Americans. That's health in numbers. United Healthcare.
Now we both breathe easier.
Ben had a job, but two other people on his work team got the perks, and that bugged Ben. So he made up his mind to complain. "Boss," he said, "Jacob and Sharon get upgrades on flights, upgrades on hotels, upgrades on cars. What gives?" Fortunately for Ben, his manager knew a teaching moment when it stalked into the cubicle. He said, "Ben, you're talking about our best salespeople. You get where they are by working harder where you are." This is Howard Butt Jr. of Laity Lodge. It's human to want rewards, even to envy, as other people collect their prizes. But when other teams score, don't resent. Watch, learn, and sharpen your own game in the high calling of our daily work.
For more information, visit ourdailywork.org.
An idea. A thought. Born in Dearborn. The product of hard work, teamwork, pride. Put in the hands of the people.
For the people.
And made in America.
It's time to punch in for your
first shift. Now, here's Tony Trujillo.
Welcome back, everybody. Hour two of our three-hour Friday morning first shift program. 6 minutes after 7 o'clock. It is Friday, March 9th, 2012. We have a busy hour. Going backward to forward, certainly at 7:50 Occupy Detroit, Shannon McEvely will be with us. The bottom of the hour, Neil Pettit will be joining us, and then HUD Secretary Sean Donovan about 22, 23 minutes after the hour, and then now is about the recall of Troy Mayor Janice Daniels. As you all know that listen to this program regularly, we've had the Troy City Manager on. We've talked with members of Troy. We covered and helped pass the library initiative last summer in Troy. Troy's kind of been the hotbed. Janice Daniels, though, has been a lightning rod, and for all the wrong reasons. And it shouldn't come as a surprise to any of us that enterprising people in the city of Troy, at least some of them anyway, decided that enough is enough and a recall is in order. Joining me now to talk about this recall effort of Troy Mayor Janice Daniels is Matt Binkowski and John Kulas. And gentlemen, I want to welcome you both to First Shift this morning.
Good morning, Tony.
Good morning.
John, let me start with you. Obviously, you guys are both Troy residents, right? I got that right?
That's true.
Okay. John, let me start with you. Why do this? I mean, I think I've kind of given a few reasons, but let's talk about why you guys want to do this.
Well, this is really about protecting the image of Troy, I think. It's clear that even after a few moments of Mayor Daniels taking office, she made Troy a hotbed of controversy, not just locally, but on the national level. And that's inherently damaging to the city of Troy, I think.
Well, I'm not going to disagree with you. Certainly what you're referring to is her slur towards gays on Facebook, which is how most of us came to know her. And unfortunately, Matt, Her response to it probably was as damaging as her doing it to begin with.
Right. You know, if she would have just came out and said, you know, I'm really sorry. I didn't mean to offend everybody. And, you know, and I've learned a lot from this, then we'd probably go on. But that's not where the story ends with Janice. I mean, she went on and decided to turn the transit center into a big opportunity to gain herself credit in the National Tea Party, and also to take the time to really level attacks at city staff, and really unconscionable attacks, in my opinion.
You know, I would think, Matt, as we had Joe Zerlag on this show, and we spoke about the letter that started with her writing this ill-informed, uninformed, cheap shot at him that was full of falsehoods that really could have been, you talk about damaging to the business community. In fact, the business community responded in a very negative way to Mayor Janice Daniels. But when she attacked him and L. Brooks Patterson comes to his defense, you know, her response, Matt, to the way this goes down, that again concerns those of us that, I mean, Troy's an important part of the business cog of the state of Michigan. You know, a lot of us are worried about your city, dude.
Well, we're worried about it too. You know, we both grew up in this town, and we've got strong feelings for it, and this isn't the way we want to be, you know, represented in the nation, and yeah, it is damaging to the, you know, to the business community. And that, you know, that's reflected in, you know, some of the letters that have come out, you know, where people or businesses are saying that they're recommending that they don't do business in Troy anymore. And we know that's wrong. We know Troy is a great place to do business. We know it, you know, with our still extremely low tax rate and very business friendly environment, you know, Troy is an ideal place, and we just need to, I think with Mayor Daniels no longer being mayor, we can start working back towards that goal.
Well, I'm not going to disagree with you. You know, John, let me ask you, how many signatures do you actually need to collect to get this on the ballot in November?
7,985 is what the county clerk certified as the number. But realistically, we're going to need as many as humanly possible, 10, 12,000.
Yeah, and the reason for that is, for those that don't understand, is, you know, they need to all be registered voters. They all need to live in Troy. And, you know, once they start, you know, cross-checking to make sure the signatures are valid, you find that some people, in their enthusiasm to want to see good, sometimes sign petitions they shouldn't be signing. It happens to everybody. So, yes, you do need to collect more signatures than you actually need. Have you started the petition signing yet, John, or are you guys getting ready to go? What's going on?
We're getting ready to go. We're still in the process of getting the language approved by the county clerk. People fail to understand frequently that this is a process that starts with at the county clerk's level, where we submit language to the elections board, and they certify it for clarity, which means that Janice Daniels would have to have an opportunity to understand and rebut the language of the petition. We're expecting a clarity hearing next Thursday, the 15th, at 11 o'clock in the morning, and I would invite anybody who supports us to please come to the clarity hearing.
And where will that be, John? Where will that clarity hearing be?
It's in Oakland County Circuit Court. It's 1200 North Telegraph in Pontiac, in Judge Hallmark's courtroom.
All right. Okay, go ahead. The clarity hearing is on the 15th.
Right, and if you look at the language of the petition, you'll see that we have four reasons listed on it, and each of them are designed to let people know that this is a coalition of people doing this, that we're interested in representing all the concerns of all the people of Troy. That's why we want multiple reasons, and that's why we're inviting anybody and everybody who's concerned about the Janice Daniels to sign our petition.
You know, oddly, because you know, you're right, she is a member of the National Tea Party. She's been very open about that. This isn't about Democrat or Republican, Matt, is it? It's about doing what's right for Troy.
Oh, exactly. And in fact, you know, most people who've grown up in Troy know that it's a very strong majority Republican area. I mean, I guess I would say 25% of the voters are Democrats and 75% are Republicans, if you've got to break it down that way. I mean, we haven't elected a Democratic, you know, state representative in forever. But that's the thing is we are finding so many Republicans who are really just, dumbfounded by this and they want to get back to, you know, being a nice quiet city with a strong tax base and want to get away from this divisive politics, which is being, you know, played on a national scale. I mean, that's the reason for rejecting the transit center. It's not because, you know, Troy couldn't use an $8 million investment. It's because they want to send a message to Washington. And we find that to be, you know, it's somewhat misplaced.
Well, I would agree with that. And I think nicely misplaced, nicely placed word. So that we understand, is there a website people can go to that we can get on our Facebook page so people can keep current on what's going on?
Absolutely. Number one, we do have a Facebook presence. Just search for Recall Janice Daniels. Also, you can go to our website, www.recalljanicedaniels.org. There you'll find the latest information. You can get our email address there to sign up for updates. You can even make a donation and we're getting to be about that time where we're probably need to get some real donations coming in.
Well, and so people understand that once after the clarity hearing, if the language is approved, then you have 90 days, I believe it is, to gather signatures. They need to be turned in. They will then be verified. And if everything is copacetic, you guys end up on the November ballot. And I make that point on purpose, Matt and John, because there is no cost. There's no special election. It's going to be part of the general election ballot, so people understand that. I got that right.
That is absolutely correct. As long as we reach a goal of having this, all our I's dotted and T's crossed by August 15th, this will appear on the November ballot, and there'll be absolutely no special election, so no extra cost to the taxpayers of Troy.
Well, John and Matt, I really do want to thank you. Would you guys make sure you stay in touch with Jeff, my producer, and if there's anything, of course, that we can do to help you to continue to support your efforts? Listen, Troy is important to Michigan, to Southeast Michigan, but to the entire state, and to see solid businesses that have been in your community for decades talk about, going to their corporate owners and saying maybe we shouldn't invest in Troy any longer is something we need to be concerned about. There are a lot of good families and lots of good families in the city of Troy that will suffer as a result of Janice Daniels just being there. And when somebody is that divisive, it's time to go. It just is. I don't think you guys can survive 4 years of this.
Yeah, we're really worried about 4 years of this. It's when businesses have to go out and recruit people to come to Troy, and they go, Troy, isn't that place where you've got that mayor?
Yep.
That's really worrying.
Yeah, we're out of time. John and Matt, thank you so much for being with us. We will, of course, be there for you. Let's take the break when we come back. Sean Donovan, HUD Secretary, when we continue.
First Shift with Tony Trivino.
I want the top wealthiest Americans to be taxed higher and that money to go to education.
I want true democracy for the 99% of us just don't have it anymore.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. That accident we had southbound 275 at I-94, that has cleared, but there's still plenty of accidents on the ramps to and from 275 and I-94. That entire interchange is a bit of a mess right now. Cut back in the speed. I'm Ross with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service today, mostly cloudy, a high near 37. Breezy winds out of the northwest as well. Tonight, partly cloudy, a low around 20, but tomorrow starts to warm up. Mostly sunny, a high in the mid to upper 40s. Right now, it's mostly cloudy and 33 degrees at Detroit City Airport. More First Shift coming up after this.
Stay tuned for more of First Shift after this on Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW.
Recently on First Shift.
John Zerlag, the city manager of Troy, joins us now.
Oftentimes, it's important to just, you know, not when someone slams you, not to actually make a slam back. Because I really believe that hostility is a sign of weakness. But essentially, to just set the record straight. It's important for the voting public and the businesses to know what the facts are of the matter. So if someone builds a false argument and then draws a conclusion, the conclusion itself becomes faulty because the underpinning rationale is faulty.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano
on 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills?
The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending.
You'll learn the order of service every server should know,
speed pouring, drink recipes,
customer service skills the industry is looking for, and much more.
All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan.
Please call 313-962-5020
Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan.
Your future is waiting for you now.
We want to hear from you.
Interact with First Shift.
Find our First Shift with Tony Trupiano Facebook page.
Tweet us at Tony, T-R-U-P-I-A-N-O. Or call us now, 1-888-552-3595.
Now, back to the show and Tony.
Welcome back, everybody. Tony Trupiano with you. Friday morning. We got a lot going on in this hour, and I'm happy to do it. By the way, before we get to my next guest, I'm going to have an in-studio guest here in just a few minutes, but before we move on, I want to remind you, or actually not remind you, I want to send a shout-out to all the great people at Dearborn, Oakwood, pre-anesthesia department. I was over there yesterday. Wonderful, wonderful people, very compassionate people, just a cool group, just a very cool group of people. So I promised them I'd say hello, give them a shout out. So I have now done that. I got an email during the last segment, somebody asking me about the legislation that HB 4929. We're going to talk about that a little bit in the last hour of the show today. So please be patient. I'll get you some information on that. That's of course the anti-labor legislation that I guess is all the rage these days in the state legislature, but we'll have a chance to connect with you folks on that in just a little bit. I'm in the process of waiting on my next guest, who is on the line. So just bear with us as we get the secretary just patched into our system. And once we've got him, we will, of course, bring him to you. The reason that he's here today, and we're excited to have him here today, is there's a we talked about this, I don't know, maybe 3 weeks ago. You'll recall that there was a settlement announced over $25 billion, and that should help about 2 million homeowners, and we're going to get some details on that from the HUD secretary as we get him. And somebody kind of guessed what he was going to be on, and I posted to the website, thetonyshow.org, the night before. I always, folks, for those of you that don't know, we do have our guests on starting at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And so somebody had gone over there and said, hey, is this what he's on to talk about? I don't think $25 billion is enough. Well, we could have that discussion, but $25 billion seems like a lot of money. I don't think the $2 million is enough. That's where I'm coming from on this. 2 million homeowners is not enough. There have been way more than 2 million people that have been negatively affected by this. Jeff, are we good to go on our guest? Okay, not quite ready yet. So as soon as we have him, we do have him on hold. We're just waiting for him to be available. We will bring him to you. Anyway, when we talk about 2 million homes, that sounds like a lot. But if you stop and think about how many millions of Americans are either underwater, in foreclosure, the funny thing is, I tried to find that number last night, and there isn't a government website that has it. There isn't a realtor website that has it. You often wonder. It's kind of like the unemployment number, which we don't really know. We had this discussion on the Facebook page the other day because the Michigan unemployment number came out and it was down 0.3% to 9%. Somebody said, yeah, but what's the real number when you factor in those no longer looking for work? And I totally get that. I mean, I totally get that. But we're never going to know that number. It's the great lie, isn't it? I mean, the unemployment number is the great lie. I think the housing numbers at some level are that same way. When you can't find that information, I mean, not easily find that information, there's a concerted effort, and this is not a conspiracy theory. I think there's a concerted effort to keep that information out of the public eye because we would be outraged. I mean, we would literally be outraged if we knew what was really going on. And this may be one of those cases. But in the meantime, we don't turn away $25 billion, right? And we certainly, if we can help 2 million people or 2 million homeowners, we want to help 2 million homeowners. Is this a program that can expand? Well, when we get the HUD secretary, we'll ask him that question. Unfortunately, we're getting a little nervous here because if he doesn't get on with us soon, apparently he's doing another interview. Jeff has explained to me. And unfortunately, if we don't get him soon, we're not going to be able to put him on today. So this happens with government folks all the time. Trust me, I've been doing this almost 20 years. So this is nothing new to me. I will tell you, it looks like we do have him. So let us turn our attention now to HUD Secretary Sean Donovan, who joins us this morning to talk about this program that I've just been explaining to you, where over $25 billion is available to help nearly 2 million homeowners. Mr. Secretary, thank you so much for giving some time to us this morning.
Great to be with you. Good morning.
Let's talk quickly about this program. Unfortunately, we only have a few minutes. A little over $25 billion for 2 million homeowners. Some would say this is a great start, and it is a great start, and it may not be enough, but let's talk about what it will do in the most immediate way.
Well, specifically for Michigan, what it means is about three-quarters of $1 billion in help for homeowners. We think it'll reach over 70,000 families across the state. Most importantly, it will be the first real effort that we have of the entire crisis to write down mortgage balances for folks that are underwater. We have a growing body of evidence that that's the best thing you can do to help homeowners. But it'll also mean for those that are unemployed that they can get help. We have so many service members that have been forced to move to a new base, to a new posting, and have had to take huge huge losses on their homes or leave their families behind because they couldn't get a modification unless their family was living in the home. So it fixes that. The last thing I would say is it's critically important for Michigan because there's $100 million coming to your Attorney General Schuette, who was a great partner on this, and he will be able to sort of amplify the results of this by funding housing counseling, legal services, other things that can make sure people really have the ability to stay in their homes. All these programs won't work unless homeowners know about them and can come in and apply, and that's where that can be helpful.
And certainly, Mr. Secretary, education is going to be critically important with this program. Well, does this address mortgage fraud or, more importantly, foreclosure fraud at all?
Well, what it does is make sure that where there was fraud committed by these servicers, that they are held accountable. This is the largest action of the entire crisis to hold banks accountable, $25 billion in total. But your listeners should be very careful about other kinds of scammers and fraud. We know, given the scale of what we're doing here, that there are going to be people out there claiming, well, we can help you get access to the settlement, just pay us a few $1,000s up front. And what I want to make sure your listeners know, if they need help, is there's free help available. You don't need to pay up front. HUD certified housing counselors will provide that help for free, and they can call the HOPE hotline at 888-995-HOPE to get help.
All righty. Well, I do appreciate your time this morning. Unfortunately, we're up against a break that we have to take. But Secretary Sean Donovan, we do appreciate your time. We will, of course, be looking for this this program to come down and help so many people in the state of Michigan that have needed a little light at the end of that tunnel. Thank you so much for your time this morning.
Great to be with you.
All right. HUD Secretary Sean Donovan. A quick break here. When we come back, another dignitary. That's right, he's a dignitary, at least in my world, a little rock star. Anybody that's willing to speak truth to power, as Neil Pettit is, will be with me in studio. Stay with us. We'll be back right after this on First Shift.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. Plenty of accidents out there. This total traffic update brought to you by McDonald's, especially out in the Ann Arbor and Ypsilanti areas. 94 east and westbound out that way, just an absolute mess. Try to avoid it if you can. Northbound 275 on that ramp to 94 eastbound, there's a vehicle in the ditch there. I'm Russ with traffic.
It's back. Drive through McDonald's today to get a Shamrock Shake. This cool treat full of minty goodness is only here for a limited time. Don't delay.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast on the National Weather Service today, mostly cloudy, a high near 37, breezy winds to the northwest as well. Tonight, partly cloudy, chilly, a low around 20, and then Saturday, mostly sunny, a high near 48. Quick look at Sunday, beautiful, mostly sunny, a high near 61. Right now, it's mostly cloudy and 33 degrees at Detroit City Airport. More First Shift going up after this.
Stay tuned for more of First Shift after this on Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News, a production of Diversified Media Enterprises. I'm Doug Cunningham. IBEW President Ed Hill says the ongoing Wisconsin struggle to reassert public worker collective bargaining rights and recall the Republican governor who took them away is a critical struggle for the whole national trade union movement.
As far as I'm concerned, the trade union movement owes a debt of gratitude to the people of Wisconsin. What the people in Wisconsin are doing right now is critical to the trade union movement and what they've been doing for the last year.
And in this highly charged political election year, Hill says he's trying to get a vital message across to his members and other workers about the coming presidential election.
In my opinion, if labor isn't fired up behind President Obama, we got a real problem on our hands. And we're trying to get our membership to understand that while we're not really satisfied 100% with President Obama, he has been there for us in a number of ways. And we need to stick with somebody that at least we can talk to.
Wisconsin unions and progressive allies are planning a big rally this Saturday at the Capitol in Madison and other pro-labor activities throughout the weekend. Teamsters President Jim Hoffa says the federal government's claim that allowing Mexican trucks to have free rein on U.S. roads won't affect Teamster truck drivers is bizarre, The Teamsters have sued the government over allowing the Mexican trucks. The suit claims violations of several existing laws, including safety regulations. The case has been consolidated with a similar lawsuit filed by the Owner-Operator Independent Drivers Association. Huffa says opening the border to low-paid truck drivers and dangerous, dirty trucks harms Teamster drivers and endangers the American driving public. The productivity of workers in the United States is starting to slow. Jesse Russell reports.
New numbers from the Labor Department suggest employers may soon need to start hiring more employees because current employees are reaching their peak productivity. The output of workers only increased by 0.9%, down from a gain of 1.8% over the previous 3 months. Meanwhile, expenses per worker jumped 2.8%. This means employers may have hit the ceiling for squeezing more work out of employees instead of bringing on more workers. Typically, when productivity starts to slow, employers need to start bringing on more employees, which would be a plus for the economy. The U.S. saw 2 months of payroll gains, and many economists project that trend will continue when January numbers are revealed.
This is what democracy looks like. Wisconsin's Worker Uprising, a one-hour radio documentary produced by Workers Independent News in conjunction with WORT. Get your copy today at laborradio.org. This newscast made possible in part through underwriting from the AFL-CIO. You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Tony and the crew are punching back in and looking to hear from you.
1-888-552-3595.
Tell us what's on your mind. Now, here's First Shift and Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back. 35. See, Jeff, when we got too many guests, I lose track of time. And poor Jeff, he could hear Secretary Donovan doing another interview because they were doing one of these morning media tours, and there's nothing he could do to get him on quicker. Anyway, we will get more information on this program, and it will be after the show because I want to vet it first, but we will get it posted to the Facebook page in a little bit. Let me go right to my next guest. Neil Pettit joins us now. I got an email the other night, and I referenced this on the show. I got it Tuesday night into Wednesday morning, if you will. And so from a young man who said, hey, listen, I'd like to talk to you, or I'd like you to do a segment on labor, but why, you know, my generation doesn't quite get it, so on and so forth, and we're going to talk about it, so I'm not going to go through the whole thing. Joining me now is Neil Pettit, who is a student, an activist, a good union brother, no question about it, a big part of the Teamsters, does a radio show himself on the west side of the state. And so, Neil, I welcome you in studio today. And
well, good morning, Tony.
Good morning to you. And I have a feeling we're going to be having more than one conversation. I got to tell you, I was impressed with the original. I don't normally call somebody that sends me an email and say, hey, why don't you come on the show and let's talk about it? But the reason that, especially the first email, not that the second email didn't do something for me, but that first email, there was something about it that said, this is a guy that wants to have a real conversation. But I think this goes back to something that I'm very concerned about, and that's education. I don't think your generation really understands the history of labor. Do you think I'm wrong?
Oh, I think you're definitely correct on that. I mean, being a 19-year-old going through high school a couple of years ago, you really don't learn the core values of a labor union as far as collective bargaining goes, as far as people that, you know, people know, yeah, people died, but then everybody lived happily ever after, and that's where the story kind of ends.
Yeah, well, you're right, and then that people died and, you know, everybody lived happily ever after. What happens in between people died and people living happily ever after, there's a lot of stuff there that people need to be both educated about and reminded of over and over and over again. But I think you told me you're a fourth-generation Teamster?
Yeah, correct.
Wow, so let's go back four generations. Who's this start with?
That's my dad's dad's dad.
Your dad's dad's dad, who did what?
He drove a truck.
All right, which makes sense because Teamsters were just truck drivers, and I would assume the next one was a truck driver as
correct.
Well.
Correct. He was actually an owner-operator.
Okay.
Still a Teamster.
Still a Teamster, which is unusual, actually. Yep. So he was smart because he understood that he got benefits and stuff
correct.
By being a member of the Teamsters. So that third generation, your dad does.
Yeah, he drives a semi for USF Holland here in Detroit.
There you go. Okay, so it's all truck drivers. That's pretty. Because, I mean, the Teamsters are obviously very diverse now. We were just We were just talking during the break. There's a great article on the front page of today's Detroit News. Of course, you and I didn't plan this, about James Hoffa Sr. and Robert F. Kennedy, who, of course, had much hatred for each other.
Yeah.
But it's about how their sons, James Hoffa, the current James Hoffa, the president of the International, and Robert Kennedy Jr., who is a radio show host and an activist, an environmental activist, are coming together a little bit. But they talk in this piece about a strike at Sotheby's, the auction house in New York, that is a Teamster workplace, which I didn't know. So, you know, it just, so that's why I'm saying that the Teamsters are much more diverse than just truck drivers, as all unions are these days. In fact, I spoke in Kalamazoo last Saturday to the U.S. Steelworkers Union, and they had there steelworkers, of course, aluminum workers, metal workers, and they had nurses, college professors, and these are the steelworkers union. So, you know, don't judge the union by the title, or don't judge the membership by the title. If you, let's speak to your generation a moment. What would you tell them that you don't feel they know?
Well, I mean, they need to know the importance of the, I guess, the whole thing about rising up together as a group. It's not just you in the world. You know, there's other people. And if
that
you
solidarity.
And if you kind of have that group think, you know, that systemic level of thinking instead of the individual level, we can all rise up together evenly. It's not, you know, don't be so selfish, I guess, what I would say.
You know, you in your original email, you know, you said that they don't really appreciate, in fact, some of them don't even like the seniority rule. That it's,
no.
And I, of all the things that you wrote about sick days and pensions.
Yeah.
That one I found a little odd. In fact, I went to a meeting Tuesday night at a UAW hall, and I mentioned your email. And I talked about that part of your email. And when I said, you know, this idea that young people think seniority is kind of foolish, they all kind of went, what?
Yeah.
Why?
Well, I mean, because they don't want to end up on the bottom. And they feel just because someone's worked there longer, if they do it more efficiently, you know, then that means they should be up top. You know, they don't think above and beyond the current time.
Well, of that might just be, and I don't mean to be disrespectful to anybody in your age group, but I think that some of that is just a maturity level. I mean, you know, when you're the guy that's been there, I mean, listen, when you're 19 years old, can you really fathom doing the same thing when you're 29, that you've done it for 10 years? And then when you get to the end of that 10 years, don't you want somebody to say, no, you're protected, dude. You've put in your time. I would think if they can think that way, I mean, and appreciate that.
I totally agree
that,
with you,
You know, then they would see that. But again, I think part of that, Neil, goes back to just not really understanding the history of the labor movement and what we used to not have. One of the things that they did after I spoke on last Saturday is they gave me a book called From the Folks That Brought You the Weekend. It's the history of the labor movement. I think I mentioned that to you on the phone. I'm going to get you a copy of that book. But, you know, that of course, I would love for that to be required reading for everybody, but I realize not everybody's going to do it. At the same time, do you feel some obligation to educate your generation, your brothers and sisters in your generation, to what labor and what union means to you?
I really think, you know, because of the, you know, current drop of union membership, there isn't that parental mentoring that there used to be. And I kind of got that. But, you know, there aren't as many union members, you know, who took, you know, their kids to union meetings and just told them the importance, where if it wasn't for my union, we would not be living the way we were. We'd go back in, you know, to the tenement times.
All right. Well, you know, it's interesting. My producer, Jeff, who you briefly met when you got here, his dad's a UAW guy. And he was just talking yesterday. His dad was on the UAW softball team. And so he spent a lot of time at the union hall. I got to tell you, I spend a lot of time in union halls for all different kinds of unions, and I'm always shocked, and I'm going to throw this a little bit on current union membership. They don't bring their kids anymore. In fact, they don't even show up a lot.
Yeah.
And they need to go to you need to go to your union meeting. I mean, you need to go. Yeah. There's stuff that's happening there that you need to know, and you need to bring your kids. Kids are always welcome at union halls.
Yeah, they almost, you know, like it. I would think.
Sure.
Know, they like seeing kids.
Well, and they not only that, because, but kids like spending time with their dad or their mom, and this is one way to do that.
Exactly. And like what, you know, John Dingell said, I've heard him say, you know, the youth, the younger people are 25% of the current, but they're 100% of the future.
Now that's actually a beautiful way to put that. Let's talk a little bit about you. You contribute to a show that is titled, what is it, West Michigan Labor Speaks.
Correct.
And that's is that a Granville State University program?
No, it's a public reality radio station.
Public reality radio?
Yeah, that's what it's called.
Really? That's interesting. Public reality radio. I kind of like that.
Yeah.
And you contribute on a weekly basis? Or?
Yeah, well, there's two shows that I'm a weekly contributor on. There's the Monday Report and then West Michigan Labor Speaks.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that's all. And you talk strictly labor issues?
The labor show, obviously, yes. Monday show, we kind of dabble in both political aspects and labor aspects of the current system.
Now, if I did my homework properly, you used to be into crew pretty heavy.
Yeah, I did. Yeah? Yeah, I still coach it now.
Coach it? Yeah. And in Ann Arbor, you had Grand Valley?
I coach in Grand Rapids now.
Okay, Grand Rapids. Yeah, that's awesome.
Because I'm going to Grand Valley State.
I did a little homework on you, dude. I wasn't just going to let anybody into my studio.
I got second in the Midwest region of the United States back in high school.
Good for you. That's awesome.
It's a great sport.
I would imagine your parents are very proud of you, especially your loyalty to the union. And
yeah, my dad's listening right now in the semi-truck.
Well, say hi to Dad.
Yeah, hey, Dad, what's up?
Absolutely. Well, he should be very proud. Mr. Pettit should be very proud of Neil because Neil's doing a good thing. What I'd like to propose to you, we still have a couple minutes left. I'm not getting rid of you quite yet, but you know, maybe from time to time, as issues come up that are important to you, because it doesn't matter where you're at, we can do this on the phone, of course.
Yeah.
Well, let's have you back on, and
definitely.
I think it's important. No, I think it's important that people your age hear from you.
Yeah.
Because you just gave that great quote about John Dingell. You are 100% of the future. And it is. I am very concerned. Seriously, I'm very concerned about the future of labor, which is why I work as hard as I do. Which is why I even piss some people off when I go into these union halls and I talk about why aren't there more of you here? You know, I always give people that challenge. Mm-hmm. The next time you invite me, I'd like to see the double the amount of people in the room. They don't always like to hear that. I'm not picking on anybody. I'm challenging you in a positive way because I know what happens. When we come together, when, you know, this is, to me, it's almost as important as church, to be honest with you. I mean that. I mean, to congregate, to be with like-minded people, to gather and talk about like-minded ideas, and solidarity is all about us coming together and doing what we know what's right for the greater community, right, Neil? I mean,
correct.
That's really what labor's all about.
Yeah.
And without, and especially after what we saw happen with the state legislature this week, taking mm-hmm. away automatic dues from paychecks and education, which is just a vengeful act. I mean, that was just a vengeful act. We know that politically we have to fight. I'm assuming that you're going to be there to elect some good Democrats in 2012, especially Barack Obama.
I'm going to be there tomorrow in Detroit.
All right.
The convention.
Oh, that's right. Tomorrow is the convention. I just found I'm actually doing a training for the United Way tomorrow. And I just found out that by the time I get out of there, the convention will be over. So I'm not going to be able to go to the convention. Neil, we're out of time. We will have you back.
Definitely.
And I've enjoyed meeting you. And you can stay a little bit longer if you'd like. You don't have to get out of here. Neil Pettit, folks, we need to take a quick break. When we come back, Occupy Detroit occupies First Shift. It's a Friday morning. We're happy to be with you. Stay where you're at. We'll be back right after this.
And you guys vote Republican. I'm not supposed to. This isn't political. So I'm not supposed to say this.
Don't come to me if you do. You're on your own, Jack.
On 1310
WDTW. Recently on First Shift.
Jeff, we're going to do a little mock phone call. You up for that?
Sure.
Actually, all you have to do is say, when I pretend like the phone's ringing and you're answering it, just say, hi, this is Senator Johnson's office, since Bert Johnson happens to be my state senator. So that's all I need for you to do, and I'll take it from there.
All right, I'll see if I got this line down.
Okay. Ring, ring. Apparently not.
You don't answer after the first one. You have to let it go twice.
Ring, ring.
Hi, Senator Johnson's office.
First Shift with Tony Trivia on 1310 WDTW.
Why are you laughing? Are you going to call laughing?
No, I'm not.
All right.
All right. So ready. Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. You are connected to the internet. I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized, with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family, and UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-9671.
Michigan needs progressive public policy, not legislation that continues to cripple our communities. Hi, I'm Brandon Jessup, Chairman and CEO of Michigan Forward. Michigan Forward is a nonprofit organization leading the charge to repeal Public Act 4. We need your support in 2012 as we continue to fight for democracy and create policy initiatives that move our state ahead. Donate today at MichiganForward.org or call 313-965-2722.
Occupy Detroit! Occupy Detroit! Occupy Detroit!
They're chanting, we're standing right in the middle of this rally, and they're saying that they're tired of corporate greed. They've had it.
Absolutely. I'm part of the 99% that's fed up with the egregious behavior of the 1%. From now on, we occupy all streets.
The movement is resonating with cities across the country. It began as that Occupy Wall Street effort.
The movement to Occupy Wall Street coming to Detroit.
The world will not change unless the way we talk about it changes.
We can just get that message across. It'll hopefully start some change.
Dozens of UAW members showed up to support the protesters.
We're losing our homes. We're losing our jobs. Union workers are facing a terrible time at the bargaining table, and workers who don't have unions are even worse off.
Time for Occupy Detroit to Occupy First Shift. Indeed it is. You know what it means. 7:50. Shannon McEvely on the other end of my line here to Occupy First Shift. And Shannon, I'll say it because I love saying it. You're my fave, babe. What can I tell you? You are my favorite occupier.
Happy Friday, Tony. I'm very glad to be with you.
Happy Friday to you as well. And we're going to talk a little 99% spring again, and I want to talk a little bit about some training. We you know, Bart was on with us the other day, as you know, Shannon, and we got a lot of interest in that. And I've made a commitment to take the trainer's training because I want to be a trainer. And, in fact, Bart and I talked not last night but the night before for quite a long time in the evening. So I'm very excited. But let's talk a little bit about what's going on and how people can get involved.
Absolutely. First of all, I'm very, very excited to hear that you're going to be one of the trainers. I'm going to be one of the trainers too. I'm really, really looking forward to that trainer's training. I think it's going to be great. The 99th spring, for me personally, this is the thing that I'm absolutely the most excited about since I guess this, you know, the whole Occupy thing has started. I'm so glad to see so many progressive groups and unions coming together as allies to really, really do. I love grassroots organizing, so that kind of organizing and training. I'm absolutely thrilled that this is going to happen. So the trainers training that you had just spoken about is going to be the weekend of March 24th and 25th.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a long weekend. It's going to be 8 hours on the 24th, 6 hours on the 25th. And this is a training for people to become trainers, to do later trainings. We're thinking the week of the week of April 9th, to train people in nonviolent civil action, to train people with organizing, and things like that. So, and this is ideally for people who have some sort of training experience, some sort of organizing experience. Obviously everyone's welcome to attend the trainings in April, and those are for people, anyone who wants to get involved. But this initial training is ideally for people who have, you know, some sort of experience. And the way people can get more information about that, if, you know, anyone out there, if that meets, you know, their interest, that criteria, 99spring.com /training. You can sign up and you'll get information about the location, exact times for that training on March 24th and 25th. I'm anticipating it to be quite big in Detroit, but I'm by no small part because of the UAW's involvement, and I'm really, really, really looking forward to it.
Well, you know, there's no question, and not to say that the entire UAW hasn't been great, but we need to really point out UAW Local 600 for all of their efforts, especially Shannon yesterday with the Alma Counts foreclosure, and the incredible work that AJ Freer, Vice President of UAW Local 600, and all the people over there continue to do. So much of what the Occupy movement does would not be possible without their involvement.
But you're absolutely right, Tony. I don't know where Occupy Detroit would be a lot of time without Local 600 and AJ. Yesterday, I had to work yesterday, so I wasn't able to attend. I guess the press conference went great. The rally went great. I don't know if you've heard, but Cindy Estrada was actually there,
yes.
Which I thought was really, really cool, that she took the time to come for that. So Occupy Detroit absolutely owes, in my opinion, Local 600, a great debt for all that they've done for the movement. And I do want to I want to clarify something, that Occupy Detroit has not endorsed the 99% Spring. Occupy Detroit at this point is not behind the 99% Spring.
And I appreciate you saying it, but the relevance to our discussion doesn't matter, because the 99% Spring is its own, has its own identity, as it should, has its own purpose, and has its own goal. So, you know, we should keep them separate. They don't need to be the same thing, of course.
Right, absolutely. And that's how I think it would be great if Occupy Detroit got behind the 99 Spring. But if they don't, I think that's okay too. But I do think that at this point, it's 2012. We are facing when I say we, I mean basically working people, people of color, women, immigrants. We are facing an unprecedented assault on a statewide level and nationally from all directions. This is no longer a time for talking. This is no longer a time for symbols. This is a time for action, and this is a time for work. And that's what I'm so excited to see from the 99 Spring, is that's exactly what's going to happen.
Hey,
that's why I'm very, very excited about it.
As am I. And not to sidetrack us, but I just saw your Facebook posting. Thanks. You said it's your all-time fave interview. I appreciate that.
It is. Oh, absolutely. I mean, I could not ask for a better interview experience, Tony. Trust me.
Thank you. Hey, look, before we run out of time today, and especially since it's on a Friday, and I want to leave people really getting excited about this training coming up on the 24th and 25th. Let me, first of all, give the website out again, and we'll get it up on the Facebook page. It's the99spring.com/training. The 99 Spring, and that's 99, the numbers. The99spring.com training, and again, we'll /training. We'll get it up on the Facebook page. You know, for people that have, for me, what I like about this is for people that have always wanted to get involved, maybe didn't feel comfortable coming down to the camp when the camp was set up, or, you know, don't necessarily feel comfortable going to a rally because they don't like crowds. This is one of those things, Shannon, where they can actually just invite three people into their living room and do it if they want to.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And that's one of the other things that I think is going to be so great about this, is that I think that once this initial trainer's training is done and we really start to branch out, that we're really going to be able to meet people where they are. We're really going to be able to do that real organizing of really being able to get anyone involved. No. At any level that they're comfortable with. And I think that's something that's missing.
Absolutely. And I am excited. Shannon, we're just out of time. Have a fabulous weekend, and I'm sure that we will talk soon.
Great. Thank you so much,
Tom. You bet. My pleasure. A quick break for the top of the hour. All that good stuff that we give you at the top is coming up. Then Joe DeSano on the other side, and it wouldn't be Friday without Joe DeSano. Stay with us. First Shift will continue right here on 1310 WDTW right after we do this.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. Some icy conditions out there on M53 between 32 Mile Road and 23 Mile Road. Out in New Baltimore on I-94, right next to M59, you're going to find lots of accidents in that area as well. I'm Ross with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service. Today, it's going to be mostly cloudy, a high in the mid to upper 30s, breezy winds in the northwest as well. Tonight, partly cloudy, a low around 20, and then tomorrow, mostly sunny, a high near 48 degrees. Right now, it's mostly cloudy and 33 at Detroit City Airport. More First Shift coming up after the top of the hour.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hillers, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Hey, it's Jeff from First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m. right here on 1310 WDTW. Dearborn, Detroit. Now, time for news from CNN.
CNN Radio, I'm Jim Ribble. Economists expect this monthly labor report from the government to show over 200,000 jobs were created in February. It comes out this morning. Roger Moore says he's had to make some adjustments as he looks for a job.
Start to learn how to do things for yourself. You start going as far as sometimes cutting my own hair, cutting down on the dry cleaning bill. You don't eat as much, so you go on a special diet.
The Democrat-controlled Senate narrowly rejected a measure to move forward on the Keystone Oil Pipeline. This means the Obama administration's objections to the pipeline will stay in place. Mississippi Supreme Court's upheld the pardons of more than 200 convicts that former Governor Haley Barbour granted on his way out of office. Randy Walker survived a shooting by one of the men who was freed. Walker says his shooter only served 17 and a half years of a life sentence and now can vote and go out and buy a gun like nothing ever happened.
I'm still living it every day. I can't be pardoned from the scars I have. I can't be pardoned from the nightmares. I can't be pardoned from looking over my shoulder wondering where this guy is. There's no magic pill for me to take. There's no magic pardon pill for me.
Syria's opposition accuses government forces of storming villages to hunt down and kill soldiers who've defected. CNN's Nick Robertson reports the fighting continues in the city of Homs.
Activists reported seeing 30 tanks moving around one neighborhood of Homs. Another neighborhood, the Free Syrian Army, appears to be launching an attack from the back of a pickup truck firing at government forces.
The NCAA says it's contacted the FBI after point-shaving allegations were brought against Auburn University's men's basketball program. Point-shaving schemes usually involve a player taking payments from a gambler to ensure that a team does not cover a published point spread. For the second time in a month, somebody bought a winning multimillion-dollar Powerball ticket in Rhode Island. Little Rhode Island. This week's winning ticket's worth $60 million. Earlier in the week, an 81-year-old Rhode Island woman claimed a $336 million Powerball prize. This is CNN Radio.
99.9% of the Grainger products you order are shipped the same day. And 99% of our customers think that's great. But if you're part of the 1% minority that thinks this is too fast, here are some ways you can slow us down. Talk slower on the phone. Order in a language only you understand. Have your order shipped to a houseboat, then move the houseboat. Or my personal favorite, order a trillion of something. For super fast access to Grainger's over 900,000 products, call clickgrainger.com or stop by a branch today. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Nutritionists and scientists agree that blueberries are a food with amazing antioxidant properties. But eating blueberries alone won't get you all the health benefits you need. That's why I created Blue Science, a revolutionary line of nutritional supplements that combines the best of blueberries, blueberry extracts, and other special plant extracts. One capsule of Blue Science contains more pterostilbene than 500 cartons of blueberries. Pterostilbene is a compound found in blueberries that helps your body's cellular activities and supports heart health, anti-aging, weight management, and more. Unlock the power of blueberries with Blue Science, available at Walgreens and GNC.
It is not okay in the land of K-Cups. Last year, Keurig maker Green Mountain Coffee Roasters scored a coup in the business when Starbucks agreed to sell its coffee in K-Cups for Green Mountain's Keurig machines. That gave a big boost to Keurig sales, but after Starbucks announced late yesterday that it's going to roll out its own single-cup brewing system called Verissimo, Green Mountain stock tumbled more than 20% in extended trades. The final hurdle is now cleared for Greece to begin receiving long-promised financial rescue funding from Europe and the International Monetary Fund, now that the nation has clinched a deal restructuring massive debt with private sector lenders. The rescue package is designed to keep Greece out of default, although some economists are not sure it's enough. Ahead of this morning's big U.S. employment report, coming up at the bottom of the hour, S&P futures are down just half a point. NASDAQ and Dow futures each are losing 1 point. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
If you have gout, listen closely. That's the sound of gout silently attacking joints between flares. You won't hear it and you may not feel it, but if your uric acid level remains high, crystals can continue to build up in your joints. Over time, this may lead to attacks in other joints, constant pain, and joint destruction. So don't wait. For more information, go to goutinfo.com and talk with your doctor about ways to keep your uric acid at a lower, healthy level.
My daughter swims like she's part fish, but when she developed asthma, I worried she wouldn't be able to do the things she loves. There are lots of specialists, lots of advice. Without United Healthcare, I couldn't keep track of it all. United Healthcare has tools to help her pediatrician coordinate her care, so everyone works as a team.
We're more than 78,000 people looking out for 70 million Americans. That's health in numbers. United Healthcare.
Now we both breathe easier.
Ben had a job, but two other people on his work team got the perks, and that bugged Ben. So he made up his mind to complain. "Boss," he said, "Jacob and Sharon get upgrades on flights, upgrades on hotels, upgrades on cars. What gives?" Fortunately for Ben, his manager knew a teaching moment when it stalked into the cubicle. He said, "Ben, you're talking about our best salespeople. You get where they are by working harder where you are." This is Howard Butt Jr. of Laity Lodge. It's human to want rewards, even to envy, as other people collect their prizes. But when other teams score, don't resent. Watch, learn, and sharpen your own game in the high calling of our daily work.
For more information, visit ourdailywork.org.
It's the same each time with progress. First they ignore you.
Then they say you're mad.
Then dangerous. Then there's a pause. And then you can't find anyone who disagrees with you. Welcome to your new reality. Welcome to your new opportunity. Welcome to your new hope. Welcome to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Absolutely. Welcome back. Third of 3 hours, 6 minutes after 8 o'clock on this Friday, March 9th, 2012. And apparently, Mr. Radford, I'm a little more popular than even my egotistical had me believing.
How's that?
Well, I just announced that I wasn't going to be able to go to the convention tomorrow because of my commitment to the United Way, which I'm going to keep, and I'm looking forward to doing that training tomorrow. I got, like, you know, boatloads of email, which means more than four, by the way. People are just upset that I'm not going to be there. They were really hoping to see me there, but I can't help it. I can't be. And the problem is, it's not the problem, but the challenge is it's in Lake Orion. Where I got to be is in Lake Orion. And it's not close to Cobo, not even a little bit. So by the time I get done there and would get downtown, everybody'd be gone, and I'd just be standing there staring at an empty space. And, well, that wouldn't be any fun, would it? No, I don't think so. Do you have HBO?
No.
Okay.
Why?
Because that movie Game Change is on HBO. I think it's Saturday night. That's the John McCain, Sarah Palin.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, the one that all of the people involved say is nothing like it. Nothing like the real truth.
Yes, but since they're fighting it so hard, it's got to be close to the real truth, right?
Well, yeah, exactly.
So I can't wait to see it. And I do have HBO, so I will be seeing it. Anyway, we've got plenty of stuff to get to. It's been, how'd you like that last hour, Jeff? Was that fast enough for
that
you?
That was quick.
Yeah, and poor Jeff had to fight through HUD Secretary Donovan on another interview while he knew I was waiting for him on this end. Mumbling and stumbling my way through that, but we survived it. Five guests in the last hour. But sometimes you got to do what you got to do. You just have to get it all in. My favorite, by the way, not that I didn't, no disrespect to the Secretary of HUD, and my other guests and Neil, but I loved the recall Janice Daniels guys, Matt and John. I just love the topic, actually. I think that she will be recalled. We're going to ask Joe DeSano in just a minute, but I think she will be recalled. I don't think that's going to be tough. Some of these things are a little bit easier than others. And then, of course, that young man, Neil Pettit, who was with us, who will be back. I liked him a whole lot. Nice kid. A nice kid. Enjoyed having him in studio. Anyway, let's go to the intro and let's get this thing going.
With his razor-sharp precision.
First Shift welcomes back
Michigan's most informed political insider.
You don't even know where to start. To belabor the cowboy point, it's the wild Midwest out there. I just take such joy in watching the far-right wingers go spastic over this. Because really, I think it is sound public policy. And, you know, there's the old cliche of the stop clock as you even write twice a day.
Partner in Main Street Strategies, Mr. Joe DeSano.
Indeed, you got to dig that music. You know, ever since the Whitney Houston conspiracy, we have to be very careful about what we can connect Joe to. Joe, good morning. Happy to have you back.
Good morning, my man. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. It's Friday, which is a good thing, of course. It just is because it's Friday. We've had a very busy day. I don't know what it says when the HUD secretary isn't your favorite guest in an hour, but he was good. He just, you know, wasn't my favorite. I'm okay with that.
Well, yeah. You know, Sean Donovan's known for his electrifying on-air
presence.
That's a tough act. That's like opening up for the Who.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay. Anyway, nice man. He's a nice man. But anyway, we only got, I think, Jeff, what did we get, 4 minutes out of him?
Three and a half minutes.
So he was late getting here, and no disrespect. I mean, he's doing one of those.
That's what Mrs. Donovan gets out of him.
And who says we're not fair to both Republicans and Democrats? Okay, I don't even know where to go from there. But, hey, we'll move on. We'll move on, absolutely. Let me ask you, do you have HBO?
I do.
Will you be watching Game Change this weekend?
I will be DVRing it.
Okay.
Because I'm taking my boy to a wrestling match at Breslin Arena in East Lansing Saturday night. But I will be watching it upon my return because I have a huge thing for Miss Julianne Moore. So, and of course, the topic is pretty darn interesting too.
Yeah, it really is. So we'll look forward. I'm going to really look forward to watching that on Saturday. We certainly have a lot to talk about today. I want to start though. Not in a place that I would normally start, but it'll make sense as we kind of work our way through the interview. Then I'm going to throw one in on you that you didn't give to me, but it's not like you're not going to be able to discuss it. First, I want to talk about what it seems to me is a clear, you know, talk about people picking winners. I think Labor has made a decision, their decision is Gary Peters is the guy to beat, unless I'm reading this the wrong way.
Well, yeah, I think they've done that for a multitude of reasons, and I think most importantly is that Gary is reliable. He's a workhorse. He's not a show horse. And I would just say to Hanson Clark, you know, you'd make a hell of a mayor. So I think that maybe he should take a step back from this race and start thinking about the fact that the odds are way against him now, both financially and organizationally, and I think he should save everyone from spending a whole lot of money to defeat him, instead turn those endorsements into future considerations and run for mayor. I would love to see him take on the status quo in Detroit. I think it's a job that he was born to do. So I think I think that's something he really should look at. But I think that, you know, back to your point, I think organized labor has made their decision. It's not the decision for the entire district, but in a Democratic primary, you start to see these things stacking up. And I think Hansen has the ability to go to those endorsers and cut a deal for the future for himself. So I would encourage him to do that.
Well, you know, and the reason that we're having this discussion is both AFSCME and the Michigan Education Association just this week have endorsed current ninth congressional district rep Gary Peters, who is now running in the new 14th. It gets really hard to keep this stuff straight. Folks, he's running against Hanson Clark, Mary Waters, and Southfield Mayor Brenda Lawrence. I got to tell you, Joe, every time we have a conversation about this race, and I don't mention Brenda Lawrence, there's a group of especially women who really like Brenda Lawrence, and I'll respect that. I'm not saying that in a disrespectful way, because they really, really like her. And it's not that I dislike her. I don't really actually know her. But I will say this. She doesn't
have any business being in this race.
She really doesn't.
You know, her last two attempts at running for higher office have been, you know, well, I want to stay FCC compliant, so I won't finish the word cluster, but you know what follows. Both of her runs for higher office beyond Southfield have not worked out well,
And let me call it the way it is, because I was awful at it, at least, and I at least I'm man enough to say it. The reason that I didn't come close to winning my congressional race is I could not raise money. I sucked at it, and so does she. She doesn't know how to raise money. Well,
I think this is clearly a situation where the ego is outstripped by ability.
In both cases, Joe.
Yeah, right. I mean, she brought nothing to the statewide ticket. I was reading an interview with her earlier in the week, and she talked about how she was the first African-American woman on a statewide as lieutenant governor candidate, and that's a great achievement. But you know, once that's bestowed upon you, what are you going to do? What are you going to do for it?
Let's have a conversation that some people in some circles, they have this conversation. Maybe they wouldn't expect two white guys to have it, but let's have it. Can a white guy represent a predominantly African-American district when traditionally that's never happened?
Well, that's not really happened here in Michigan.
Not in Michigan, right.
But, you know, as a white guy, I'm perhaps less sensitive to that problem. But I don't think, you know, once Gary Peters is the congressperson for half the city of Detroit, I don't think for a second that those citizens of the city of Detroit will not have top-notch representation in Congress. And at the end of the day, it's more important, I think, to have the best congressman you can have representing you in Congress rather than someone who just happens to have the same skin tone as yourself. I mean, there's a whole tribal aspect to this that, you know, that's based in human nature, that you're going to want to support someone who's just like you, be it, rural white right-to-lifer or an African-American liberal. So Gary's going to have to fight through all that, and it's going to be a challenge for him to truly represent a diverse district like this. I mean, you know, that's a crazy district. It's got West Bloomfield and Detroit, you know. Those are somewhat competing interests that he's going to have to figure out how to balance, but clearly he's doing it now because he's putting the coalition to win together. And, clearly Hanson Clark isn't.
Oh, clearly. And it's not like, and let's be honest about it, it's not like Hanson hasn't gone to these same unions and had the same conversation that Gary Peters is having. He obviously isn't being able to.
That's absolutely the case.
Right. And he's not been able to persuade them to to back him, or they.
Well, he's wildly talented, and I know we got a break coming up. He's of course wildly talented, has a great future. I just don't want to see him wasting it by getting his clock cleaned in August.
All right, much more to get to. If you want to join us, you know you're always welcome to do that. Just be topical. 888-552-3595. The email address, tony@thetonyshow.org, and on Twitter, @TonyTrupiano. Joe DeSano with Main Street Strategies is my guest, and he will be. And when we continue, stay with us.
I'm in this race because I care about Americans. I'm not concerned about the very poor. We have a safety net there. You can choose where to focus. You can focus on the rich. That's not my focus. You can focus on the very poor. It's not my focus.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Got some delays out there, 94 westbound between French Road and I-75. 75 northbound near 375. We have a disabled vehicle in the center lane there. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City weather.
The forecast for the National Weather Service, today mostly cloudy, a high near 37. Tonight partly cloudy, a low around 20. And then Saturday mostly sunny, a high in the upper 40s. Right now it's overcast and 34 degrees at Detroit City Airport. More First Shift coming up after this.
Recently on First Shift.
Joining us now is Dr. Jill Stein, a candidate for the Green Party's presidential slot. Tell my audience, if you would, a little bit about the Green Party for those that are not familiar with the Green Party, please.
The Green Party is the party of regular working people. You have two establishment parties, but they've sort of given up the ship for everyday working people. They're delivering the goods for the wealthy few who are already rolling in dough. They're imposing austerity on everyday people, cutting back for our health care and our schools and the things that everyday people need, our transportation. Yet they are squandering trillions on more Wall Street bailouts, tax breaks for the millionaires and billionaires, and wars overseas that get ever bigger and ever more expensive every day.
On 1310 WDTW.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills?
The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending.
You'll learn the order of service every server should know,
speed pouring,
drink recipes,
customer service skills the industry is looking for, and much more. All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan.
Please call 313-962-5020.
Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan.
Your future is waiting
for you now.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off, than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Recently on First Shift.
Joining me now to talk about this recall effort of Troy Mayor Janice Daniels is Matt Binkowski and John Kulas.
This is really about protecting the image of Troy, I think. It's clear that even after a few moments of Mayor Daniels taking office, she made Troy a hotbed of controversy, not just locally, but on the national level. And that's inherently damaging to the city of Troy, I think.
First Shift with Tony Trio on 1310 WDTW.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter.
Follow us, like us,
love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet.
Got something to tell Tony?
1-888-552-3595.
Let your voice be heard on First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Now, time to punch back in.
And we punch back in. Joe DeSano, my guest. He is, of course, a partner with Main Street Strategies. He and his partner, Todd Cook, do some of the sharpest political consulting in the state of Michigan. We are fortunate to to get Joe on a weekly basis, and happy to have him here today. Now, let me ask you very briefly. You heard during the break the new little soundbite there about the recall of Mayor Janice Daniels. I know that she's one of your favorite politicians, Joe DeSano. I think this is probably a recall that could happen.
Yeah, I did some polling in the city of Troy not too long ago that showed that that there was incredible buyer's remorse for electing her in the first place, and that the ground is set, it's ready to sprout the recall shoots, and I think if they can get on the ballot, I think they've got a great chance to recall her. I think everything the guys previously said about her being a complete embarrassment to the city of Troy, I think is absolutely true, especially on a national stage. I mean, you've got a great little town, you know, that's reputation is in the gutter based on this clown that sits in the mayor's office. When someone like a L. Brooks Patterson, who I have, you know, problems with, he weighs in on a fellow Republican elected official like this, which is really unprecedented for him, you know, you've left the mainstream, and I think she is clearly going to be recalled if they can get that on the ballot. Now that's the challenge, by the way, getting it on the ballot. That's quite difficult.
Yeah. And, they walked through exactly what they needed to do that, and that's not what something we're here to talk to Joe about today anyway, but I did want to, I certainly did want to bring it up. Well, listen, we need to talk about some stuff that's happening on the west side of the state, because there are some congressional seats that, there is a congressional seat, actually, that could actually go to a Democrat. Now, yes, I said on the west side of the state. Joe, what the hell is going on over there?
Well, right now we have the newly recreated third congressional district, which is basically the city of Grand Rapids and the city of Battle Creek and all the territory in between. And currently the city of Grand Rapids is represented by a gentleman named Justin Amash, who is an acolyte of Ron Paul, but he actually even votes no on things that Ron Paul votes yes on. And this is a guy who, you know, I think a third of his votes are abstentions, because he doesn't even entertain the idea that these ideas are constitutional. So he just abstains if he feels that the issue before him is unconstitutional on its face. So he doesn't. It's a very strange flow of logic from his head. But basically, he is the son of a very wealthy manufacturer who outsourced a lot of work out actually to China. And he's really not the favorite among Republicans. And this is a very subtle thing that happened here. They actually threw him in a very competitive seat, this new third district. And now we have Steve Pesca, a former judge and former legislator, who has thrown his hat in the ring. He's been able, I think, to unite the Democratic establishment both down in Grand Rapids and Battle Creek. And I think he is going to give Mr. Amash a run for his money based on a number of things, based on the fact that, you know, Steve's a political moderate, whereas clearly Mr. Amash is on the far, far right-wing fringes of the Republican Party. There's a pretty great tradition in Grand Rapids of moderate Republicans representing that area. You've got, you know, former President Jerry Ford. That's his old seat, and he was, you know, especially now considered a middle-of-the-road Republican. Then you had Bernd Ehlers, who, you know, was a very reasonable, moderate, common sense kind of Republican that is so rare nowadays, and he was replaced by Mr. Amash, who has a very tenuous grasp of reality.
Yeah, what is it about him? I mean, you know, it kind of does beg the question: how did he get elected in the first place? And so, I mean, was it just part of that conservative sweep that happened in 2010? Joe?
No, because this was done in this race. Keep in mind, was done under the old borders. Okay? So this was almost entirely a Republican primary race. There was a Democrat named Patrick Miles who ran against Amash. Actually, he was a law school colleague of the president, President Obama. And he just got squashed under the wave. I think he ended up with like 39% of the base, or 39% of the vote, which is actually well below the Democratic base of, I think it was like 44%. So he underperformed, really not by any fault of his own. It was just a crushing wave, especially on the west side of the state for Democrats. And he chose not to run for re-election. Excuse me, he chose not to run for the rematch. And in comes former legislator Pesca, who will be able to raise the money. He's much more in the moderate mold of that particular district. And I think he's going to take Mr. Amash, and this race in particular, I think at the end of the day, will be a national top-tier race. And folks in Metro Detroit, where we are, need to pay attention to that. And frankly, write Pesca a check if you can.
Well, I got to tell you, almost within, 13 seconds of him announcing that he was going to be running for Congress, I got a Facebook friend request from him, as I probably going to guess a lot of Democrats did, which is fine. I have no problem with that. I think it's important that, as we look at making advancements for the Democrats on a national level, because there's no guarantee that we take back the House. The Democrats take back the House.
Well, I would say that the odds are still against Democrats retaking the House.
Absolutely, Joe.
But we can make progress here in Michigan in two places. The first congressional district with, beating Dan Bedeshek and sweeping Justin Amash out of the House. That's a plus two right there.
Yeah, there you go. So this will be, like you said, this is going to be one to watch, and it's going to be an interesting race. Listen, there's enough reason to believe that both these guys, by the way, will be able to raise some money. But Steve Pesca, it looks like, again, from what little bit of homework I was able to do on him over the last week, and then talking to a couple people that actually know the guy, that this is a very serious candidate who kind of got a lot of people smiling in Democratic politics today.
Oh,
which
God,
is a good
when
thing.
I heard he was getting in the race, I mean, I've known him since 98, I think it was. He's a very serious person. He's a very serious candidate. He always runs 5 to 7 points above the Democratic base because he's got that ability to attract moderate votes, independent votes, and a lot of Republican votes that you're going to need to really put Amash up the pasture.
All right, we're going to take a quick break here. We're going to go to the phones when we continue. We've got a caller waiting, so stay where you're at, folks. This is First Shift. I'm Tony Trupiano. He's Joe DeSano with Main Street Strategies, and you're listening to 1310 WDTW. We'll be right back.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning, northbound 75 near 375. We have a disabled vehicle there in the center lane. Also noted for westbound between French Road and I-75. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service. Today, partly sunny, breezy, a high near 37. Tonight, partly cloudy, a low in the lower 20s. Saturday, mostly sunny, a high near 48. Quick look at Sunday, mostly sunny, a high near 61. And looking ahead to next week, mostly some sunshine, some showers in there as well, but highs in the upper 50s to lower 60s. Right now, it's overcast and 34 degrees at Detroit City Airport.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
The corporate propensity for rationalizing the irrational in the pursuit of profit appears to be boundless. Consider J.R. Simplot. a giant conglomerate whose mining operations in Idaho have grossly polluted creeks with selenium, a highly toxic metal. But Simplot scientists rationalized the corporation's dirty deed with a 1,000-page study asserting that even though the selenium contamination of creeks was well above levels allowed by environmental law, the water remained, quote, safe for fish. Tucked back in the appendix of Simplot's study, however, were a few photographs that vividly depicted the screaming irrationality of the corporation's safety claims. The most stunning photo was of a two-headed baby trout produced by Simplot's pollution of area creeks. It was not the only sickening deformity caused by the selenium. Other trout had facial, fin, and egg disfigurements. These grotesque mutations led to calls for an independent agency to conduct a full scientific review of Simplot's 1,000-page study. At Senator Barbara Boxer's request, this was done by the Fish and Wildlife Service, which issued a scathing report in January that bluntly branded the corporate study biased. For example, Simplot systemically understated the deformity rate of baby fish in the creeks. It's not 20% that are deformed, but 70%. Ask about this rather broad discrepancy, a Simplot vice president could only grunt that the Fish and Wildlife Review was, quote, totally outside the regulatory process. Well, thank goodness for that. As another independent toxicology expert says, I have seen lots of malformed baby fish, but never one with two heads. We need to be careful here. This is Jim Hightower saying, yes, let's. In fact, let's stop swallowing any irrational rationalization by corporations that pollute for profit.
Hightower's commentaries are brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown, the monthly newsletter with Hightower's populist take on what the powers that be are up to. Find out more at HightowerLowdown.org.
Recently on First Shift.
Jeff, we're going to do a little mock phone call. You up for that?
Sure.
Actually, all you have to do is say... when I pretend like the phone's ringing and you're answering it, just say, hi, this is Senator Johnson's office. And Bert Johnson happens to be my state senator. So that's all I need for you to do. And I'll take it from there.
All right, I'll see if I got this line down.
Okay. Ring, ring. Apparently not.
You don't answer after the first one. You have to let it go twice.
Ring, ring.
Hi, Senator Johnson's office.
First shift with Tony Trivia on 1310 WDTW.
Why are you laughing? Are you going to call laughing?
No, I'm not.
Okay.
All right. So we're ready.
Union.
Solidarity.
Democracy.
We make a difference when you give your voice.
What's on your mind?
1-888-552-3595.
You're listening to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back. 35 minutes after the hour. We are going to go right to the phones, and Bamani joins us now. Bamani, it's nice to hear from you as always, and you're on the air with Joe DeSano. I think you need to turn your radio down, my friend.
How you doing? Yeah, it's off.
All right, thank you. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Yeah, well, first thing, I would like to find out why you think the Democrats probably would not take back the House. I'd like to have that question answered. And I also am a little concerned, and I was listening to another black radio talk show station, just a few minutes ago, and they are concerned about the Hanson Clark losing his seat or the diminishing of the black representation in Congress here as far as Michigan is concerned. And I am concerned. I'm not saying that Gary Peters is not a good person or whatever, but I really would just prefer, that maybe we have more progressive people rather than one progressive person replacing another person.
Right.
And I'd like to have black leadership, more black leadership, of course.
Well, let me, before I let Joe in, I'm going to let Joe jump in here in just a second. Number one, we were talking about taking back the House. We're talking about nationally, not statewide. Statewide, I think we're going to take back the House without much of a problem.
Good.
Let me say that. Joe, I'll let you go ahead and jump in.
Yeah, thank you for clarifying that. The Michigan House is definitely in play. Definitely. Republicans are trying to tell us that it's not, but it absolutely is. Secondly, I actually have the same concerns. I mean, I think you're losing, anytime you lose a minority voice like that, I think that's a problem. part of the Constitution is built on making sure that the majority doesn't trample on the minority, that the minority has rights. And, I think it's
it's sad that it's come to this, and no Democrat wanted to have this happen. So, I mean, I agree with your concerns. I think it will become an issue before this race is over. But for the moment, I think, you know, Gary Peters is in the driver's seat here, and it's more of a pragmatic opinion more so than based on any emotion or racial issue.
Sure. And let me throw this in there. First of all, I want to say this up front. I consider Hanson Clark a personal friend. I do. I consider Gary Peters a great guy, but I don't know him. I don't consider him a friend. I know Hanson Clark. I've had him on my show in many different manifestations in radio, and he has been incarnations in radio. He has been a good friend.
Sharp as a tack. He's delightful, enjoyable to listen to and talk to. I mean, he has a lot of attributes that you want in an elected official. I just don't think at the end of the day he's going to win this race.
Right, and here's the point I want to make. The unions that are backing Gary Peters are not unions that are shy of minorities. They are well represented by every minority. So when these union councils make a decision to back a candidate, they are doing it with that in mind. So I just want everybody to remember that. All right, let's go back to the phone. Our mutual friend Ken Whitaker is on the phone, and Ken, as always, a pleasure to have you on, brother.
Hey, Tony, how's it going this morning?
Good.
Hey, I wanted to inject another angle into the black representation of Congress. You know, this goes beyond the 14th district, because if you look at the CBC, the cumulative age of all of the reps over 2.5 millennia, that's 2,500 years. You know, and there's not a lot of people coming behind them. They're not being mentored. They're not being tutored to take their positions. The average age of the CBC members is 62 years of age, and the life expectancy for a black man is 74 years of age. So regardless of the 14th district, we're losing representative clout in Congress when it comes to black representation. So this goes a lot, you know, further beyond the 14th district, and it's something we have to look at.
There's no question, and Ken, just in all fairness, Ken, by the way, is the communications director of the 14th Congressional District Democrats, so this is something that Ken has had a lot invested in. Go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, honestly, his comments about the CDC, I think, or CBC, rather, which is the Congressional Black Caucus, for those who don't know, I didn't know those numbers. So that, I mean, clearly this is a problem that extends far beyond the 14th district, 14th and 13th district.
Yeah, Joe, I mean, I added them all up. Over 2,500 years if you add all their ages up.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
That's kind of scary.
Yeah, well, hey, Ken, thank you for your call. Joe, this goes back to, you know, we've had this question and this conversation on the state level because of term limits about institutional memory. And I think that's important, especially as we talk about minority representation at the federal level in Congress, that, you know, if we start losing, you know, institutional memory there, how dangerous that can be. People can say what they want to about John Conyers. Spend 10 minutes with him, and that man remembers things from 1963 as if they happened yesterday. I mean, these are important people to have in place.
Oh, I agree. And you know, one way or another, you know, he's not going to be in Congress forever. You lose that institutional memory and you lose history. So I think that's something we need to worry about and try to, you know, Ken makes a great point about mentoring folks. There's nothing more important that you can do, as a politician or elected official or just as a person even, other, you know, you extend your hand in friendship and encourage folks who are younger than you and less experienced than you to bring them along, to give them the sense of history of where you've been, where the institutions have been. I think it's an incredibly important point that Ken brought up.
You know, you and I have had this, well, maybe we haven't had this discussion. You know, one of the criticisms that is said of the Democratic Party is that they don't have a bench. They don't have a farm system. Is that true?
We haven't had this conversation. I think Democrats have the ability and track record to eat their own like no one I've ever seen. I'll just point to my life and career. I've never felt that I've had a mentor. I've never felt that too many doors have been opened up on my behalf. I kind of feel like whatever success I have is based on just, you know, being obnoxious and relentless and not going away. You know, you beat me down, I get right back up. I don't think anyone's ever helped me as far. Let me rephrase that. Plenty of people have helped me, but I've never felt like doors have been opened. I felt like I've barged the doors open. And I know I'm not the only one who feels this way about Democratic politics. I mean, we don't develop people and we don't develop institutions. You sink or swim on your own. And I'm not sure that's the best way to build an enduring Democratic majority here in the state. And I've talked about that on the show. I think we need to invest in people and organizations that build that majority. Instead, we place way too much power in these elected officials who you know, are going to be somewhat cowardly a lot of the times because they have to face voters. So we've got to build up the individuals and the institutions to buttress them and let them know that, you know, if you make the tough vote, we're going to have your back.
Let me turn that question around a little bit. Do you feel that Republicans have a farm system?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, they are very – this is one of the differences between the parties. I think that we can learn a lot from them. Democrats are playing catch-up on this regard, so I have to be fair about that. But Republicans have a whole series of national think tanks and state affiliates, and they take care of their people. They develop their people. And if one of their brethren fall down, they get taken care of. Whereas Democrats, you know, I could, you know, if we had time, I could list you 20 people who've been thrown to the wolves that still have plenty of value that we just disregard. And I think that's a cultural difference between the two parties that we've got to actually emulate the Republicans on.
Okay, I'm going to keep my mouth a little bit shut on that conversation, so we're just going to go with what Joe said on that. Fair enough. I'm glad that we had the calls that we had, because it's important that we respect you know, part of whatever it is that the past does for us. And again, at the national level, when we talk about members of Congress, and you're right, and I still believe John Conyers is going to win his seat, and that's my belief. But he's not going to be there forever, Joe.
No, the actuarial table will tell you he's not going to be there forever. And I think he's actually in a really strong position, a stronger position than he might have been if things had went differently. But I think Ken brought up for me the big picture, okay, because I can sit there and analyze the 13th and 14th congressional district all day long, okay, but I am not going to sit there and add up the age of the Congressional Black Caucus like he is, like Ken did. I mean, that's an important perspective that me as a white guy up in Lansing, I'm not even going to think of. So, you know, you can lose the forest for the trees, I think the phrase is, and we're just focusing on one or two trees, and Ken's looking at the entire forest.
Absolutely.
I had to for that.
Absolutely. Joe, we're out of time for today. Of course, I will not be here next week. I will be off recovering from surgery, but we'll look forward to visiting with you. You will be here next week. I won't. And actually, we're not. We're doing a best of next Friday. So, Will, I don't know. When are you taking off for Italy?
I'm leaving the 31st.
Well, we got to get
the 31st.
We'll get you in at least once before you go. But what an exciting trip. Anyway, thank you for this week, and we'll talk to you soon. We got to get to the break, folks. Open lines on the other side. And, of course, we'll clean things up, wrap it up, and get to the weekend. Stay with us.
And we do have to remember, you know, the straw vote is one thing, but then there's one other thing called delegates. Yeah!
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. You are connected to the internet. I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Oh, what's up, diggity doll?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moodly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us.
At Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family. And UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-9671.
Recently on First Shift.
Joining us this morning is Terry O'Neill. Terry is the current president of the National Organization for Women.
Mitt Romney has failed to condemn Rush Limbaugh's three-day vicious vitriolic attack on an ordinary young woman whose big crime was that she stepped into the public sphere to testify before Congress. He is a dangerous guy. A number of commentators have made this point. The senior Republican leadership seems to be very much afraid of
First Shift with Tony Trupiano
on 1310 WDTW.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
In a blue-collar, get-to-work-and-get-the-job-done kind of state like Michigan, there's only one show that cares about the men and women
who put in a hard day's work every day.
This is First Shift on 1310 WDTW. Now, back to Tony Trupiano.
Yowza yowza, what a day. 10 minutes before the top of the hour. If you care to join us, feel free to do that right now. We got about 10 minutes before we got to get out of here for the week. We'll be back on Monday where I have one of those kind of Mondays where you kind of go, why'd you do it? But how do you say no? Of course, we've got our show on Monday. And then I am guest hosting for Ed Schultz on Monday. And they actually asked me to have David Hecker on to talk about what happened in the state legislature this week with union dues and automatic check deduction. And so he will be part of the show, and we're working on some of the other stuff. So looking forward to that, huffing and puffing my way through today's show. I was literally running around in the 7 o'clock hour. Five people in whatever, technically, what is it, 56 minutes if you take away less than that. But, wow, it was just a fast hour.
Booyah!
Booyah! Absolutely, booyah. And, of course, we'll have Anthony back on Monday. I'm sure, Jeff, you're anxious to get him back in studio.
Yeah, that'll be nice.
By the way, a former intern and very briefly employee, Todd Turkinski, I got an email yesterday from a company that will go unnamed that wanted a reference on him. And what was funny about it is, you know, Todd didn't work for us that long, so I don't really have a lot to say. I don't have anything bad to say about him, right? Because he's a nice kid. He was a real nice kid. We enjoyed him. But I don't really have a lot of good things to say about him because he didn't work for us that long, right? So I fill out, you know, I certainly felt an obligation to fill out this form, and I did. And the funny thing is they send me back this long-ass response thanking me and how responsible I was and how helpful my comments were, and I'm thinking to myself, my comments were helpful. I barely said anything.
Well, legally, aren't you just all only allowed to say, yeah, he worked here, and yeah, I mean, that's...
Well, I mean, you know, here is an example. As you get the phone, I'll just share with the audience. It said, you know, is he, you know, what are his three greatest attributes? Does he work well alone? Well, here as an example, he didn't have to work alone. So I said, you know, can't answer that. They only ask, I think, five questions. And three of them were not applicable because they didn't apply, which means they're not applicable. So I only answer two of the questions, and again, I get this long-ass response back about, you know, how great it was, and they had shared my answers with the director of this and blah, blah, and I was like, oh, sweet Jesus, you didn't even read it. So it was an autoresponder thing. Crazy. All right, let's go to the phones. 888-552-3595. Let's talk to Earl in Ypsilanti. Earl, as always, my friend, happy to hear from you.
Tony, my brother, how you doing there?
Good. Been a good week.
Yeah, I'm actually listening to you on iHeartRadio down in Crawfordsville, Indiana right now.
All right, brother, that's the way to do it.
Yeah, well, I heard you're going in for surgery next week. I just wanted to call and hope that it's classic, you know, textbook, everything goes smooth, and you'll be in my thoughts and prayers, brother.
Well, Earl, I do appreciate that. I, of course, hope that it's at classic textbooks and textbook, and I'm in and out of there as well, and I'm back on the radio, hopefully after a few short days, but I've got great help in Anthony and Jeff, of course, and then we've got Chris Mihalakis sitting in while I'm out, so I feel very comfortable with that, and it's just what a blessing this all of this is, and I can't thank you enough for those kind words, especially the prayers, and I feel very good about what I'm doing, and ultimately, you know, part of the reason I'm doing this is because I just feel like I need to be around a lot longer to continue the work we're doing here on the radio.
Well, you keep it up, bro. You're doing an awesome job, and hurry back, okay? I'll let you go, and you have a great one.
Earl, thank you so much. I do appreciate that. That's a very, very thoughtful. I've gotten lots of well wishes, and a couple people very concerned. I shared that with you on the show the other day. Got another response. It was not yesterday. It was the day before. Somebody very, very concerned about my decision to have gastric bypass surgery. Folks, I promise, I really did do my research and my homework on this, and those of you that are concerned, I respect that concern. It's not that I don't have a little trepidation myself. You don't do anything, no matter how established it might be, without there being fundamentally a little bit of concern, but I feel very comfortable with the decision that I've made, and I'm looking forward to doing this, and we'll find out on the other side. We may just be. I've been surprised as I've been sharing this news with people that I'm having gastric bypass, how many of them have either said they know someone, which is almost everybody, but actually there have been a lot of people that have said, oh, I had that done too. Now, I would never, of course, ask somebody out of the blue, hey, you know, you've lost weight. Did you have gastric bypass? I just assumed that they dieted.
Are you a flake?
Are you a flake? God, I didn't even know we still had that one. I feel blessed. I do. I mean, you guys have all been so great to me, and I do appreciate that. I don't do this lightly. No pun intended. I don't do this. I didn't make this decision lightly. And certainly I've been, I've been through a lot that you don't know about. I mean, I've had to go through a lot of testing. I went through a stress test yesterday. I was at Oakwood, which is where I'm having the surgery. I was at Oakwood yesterday and spent time with pre-anesthesiology, and they were great people over there, very compassionate people over there. And so, you know, this has been going on since September. So this has been a very long and difficult process, and Jeff will tell you that even though in my pre-op diet, which has not been fun, I've not been as crabby as I thought I would be. I haven't been too bad, have I, Jeff?
Nah.
No. We're doing the staff meeting today, so
it's about the kids.
It's about the kids. Actually, today it's going to be about the food. We got to get one that says it's about the food, Jeff, because I may really miss it after surgery. Let's go to the phones and wrap things up with Joe in East Point. Joe, thanks for punching in this morning. What's on your mind?
Good morning. Just called to wish you well, of course. And, you know, Al Roker kind of set the precedent for stars like you guys with that surgery. Seemed to have worked out pretty well for him.
He looks great.
And I'd be expecting the same result, you know, with you. So, yeah, good luck to you. And I'll be talking to you.
Thank you, Joe. I appreciate that. Of course, folks, I will be here Monday and Tuesday next week. I'm not having surgery till Wednesday. And the way they do things these days, you don't go in for surgery until the day of. So you're still stuck with me Monday and Tuesday. But I absolutely appreciate that. Jeff, anything special planned this weekend?
I don't think anything's going on. This is a rare weekend where I'm not sure that there is anything going on.
So you just actually might have the weekend to yourself?
Well, Big Ten tournament, going to watch some basketball. And work on stuff for the show. So
okay, hey, listen, Occupy Detroit just asked me if we could send them a link to our podcast page. Can you take care of that for me?
No.
All right, thank you. Are you buying breakfast this morning?
Are you a flake?
Huh? Are you buying breakfast this morning?
No.
So can I barter you doing that for me for breakfast?
You know I'm going to take care of
it. Oh, okay, all right. All right. That's it, folks. We're out of time today. Jeff, thank you so much. Hey, listen, folks, if you need me off the air, tony@thetonyshow.org. Of course, I'll be out in Lake Orion tomorrow taking care of my friends at the United Way, Ed Potasnik, and everybody involved in the training out there. Looking forward to it. Don't forget the conventions tomorrow at Cobo for the Democrats. I love you all. Again, off the air, tony@thetonyshow.org. And as always, I ask that you be well.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Well, things are looking good on the roadways right now. The accidents have cleared, the roadways have melted for now, but expect some heavy snow showers occasionally, especially up towards the eastern end of M59. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast for the National Weather Service today, partly sunny, a high in the upper 30s, breezy winds to the northwest as well. Tonight, partly cloudy, a low around 20, and then Saturday, mostly sunny, a high in the upper 40s to around 50. Right now, it's overcast and 34 degrees at Detroit City Airport. Union. Have a great weekend, everybody.
One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off. Than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.